front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It's Friday, July 12th, 2019. I'm your host, Alex Jones. I'll be here for the next 4 hours. Then, the War Room is coming up, ladies and gentlemen. And we are into day number two of the 34-hour 1776 worldwide transmission as we attempt to chart another possible course for humanity for a pro-human future, not a globalist post-human future. These are the really big issues. A lot of good happened at Trump's social media conference yesterday. We're going to play some large clips of that. Also got a lot of interviews on the ground with some of the participants. That's all coming up today. Plus an exclusive interview, the last interview, with Tommy Robinson, never before seen, before he goes into prison. Talk about being attacked for free speech. This is it. Talk about being a political prisoner. This is it. Talk about being imprisoned for journalism. This is it. But first, I want to play a few clips here of Senator Josh Hawley at the conference yesterday and some of the things that Trump had to say. And we'll be right back to kick off the main transmission.
So this is a historic day. Never before have so many online journalists and influencers, and that's exactly what you are. Your journalists and your influencers come together in this building to discuss the future of social media. Each of you is fulfilling a vital role in our nation. You're challenging the media gatekeepers and the corporate censors to bring the facts straight to the American people. And that's what you're doing. You're going right to the people. Possibly we wouldn't be here right now. I asked somebody, what do you think I'd do without social media? Would I be here? Because I said, I think so. But they weren't so sure. I have to say that. You know that. I'm not sure I believe that, but I have to say it. But you communicate directly with our citizens without having to go through the fake news filter. It's very simple. Together, you reach more people than any television broadcast network by far, not even close.
Thank you. Well, first of all, can we just give another round of applause to the President of the United States for his leadership on this issue? You know, the media says, the establishment media, the fake media, they say, oh, there's no censorship in social media. That's all made up. That's all fake. You and I know that that's not true. You and I know the truth is that the social media giants would love to shut us down. They would love to shut us up. They would love to shut him up more than anything else, and we can't let them. And that's why we need to step up now, and I think we need to say to them, here's the deal. Google, Facebook, Twitter, they've gotten these special deals from government. They've gotten a special giveaway from government. They're treated unlike anybody else. If they want to keep their special deal, here's the bargain. They have to quit discriminating against conservatives. You agree with that? No more. No more discrimination. It's that simple. That's all we're asking for. They ought to abide by the same principles of free speech and the First Amendment that this country embraces, that we love and call our own. And I don't think it's too much to ask for these huge tech platforms who've gotten rich off of our information, right? Off of our data, off of everything we've given them. They've gotten rich off of it. They've gotten rich off their special privileges from government. They want to keep those. They shouldn't discriminate. They shouldn't censor. They shouldn't shut us down. I want to thank the president again for his incredible leadership. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you, Mr. President, for all that you do.
Based on the feedback that we're hearing from you, I'm announcing that we will ask representatives of the major social media platforms to join me at the White House over the next month, have a big meeting and a real conversation. We might want to invite some of you. I know, Josh, we're going to have you and some of the senators. And it's amazing how the senators, including Democrats, in all fairness, which is probably because they know it can turn on them also. It can turn very quickly, but they want to come. So we'll let you know the date. Okay. And today I'm directing my administration to explore all regulatory and legislative solutions to protect free speech and the free speech rights of all Americans. That's you people in this room and a lot of people out there. We have a lot of people.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Very exciting that Trump is getting ready to deliver on his promises. You can guarantee that.
Thank you.
deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas. Transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Tensions escalating.
Maybe you didn't hear what I said. I said what I'm going to say on the subject.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi attempting to defuse the fight with Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
How they're interpreting and carrying it to another place is up to them. But I'm not going to be discussing it any further.
But AOC is.
It's singling out four individuals. And knowing the media environment that we're operating in, knowing the amount of death threats that we get, knowing the amount of concentration of attention, I think it's just worth asking why.
The freshman congresswoman calling out the speaker directly, telling the Washington Post, quote, when these comments first started, I kind of thought that she was keeping the progressive flank at more of an arm's distance in order to protect more moderate members, which I understood. But the persistent singling out, it got to a point where it was just outright disrespectful, the explicit singling out of newly elected women of color. A charge she stood by today.
I think it's really just pointing out the pattern, right?
Pelosi emphasizing today.
We respect the value of every member of our caucus. The diversity of it all is a wonderful thing. Diversity is our strength. Unity is our power.
Setting off this latest dust up, the fallout over the border bill that passed 2 weeks ago. Pelosi calling out the so-called squad, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Ayanna Pressley, the four progressive freshmen and only Democrats to vote against the bill.
Overwhelmingly, our caucus voted to protect the children. Our blue dogs, our moderates, and all the rest voted to protect the children. They did not.
AOC shooting back.
Well, it's not true. It's just wrong.
And Pelosi diminishing their power, telling the New York Times all these people have their public whatever in their Twitter world, but they didn't have any following. They're four people, and that's how many votes they got. AOC responding right back online, tweeting that public whatever is called public sentiment. The feud had been simmering beneath the surface for months, with Pelosi dressing down AOC's Green New Deal proposal.
What's in the Green Deal, New Green Deal?
And minimizing her primary win in New York.
Those are districts that are solidly Democratic. This glass of water would win with a D next to its name.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats are beginning to eat their own in an accelerated way. The truth is, they've been training the Democrats and other leftists across the planet at the major universities and in corporate sensitivity training to hate all white people and to hate wealth and to hate families and to hate Christians. Now, it's been white people that are actually teaching this to the minorities who are the majority in most areas. Because then they're simply going to use a race-based system against the white West that opened itself up in the name of Christianity and tried to build up the planet's industrial systems via egalitarianism. The problem is that the globalists are technocrats and very cold-blooded. They are above the law, tax-exempt, and they are playing the third world off against the first world. And AOC has been given everything. AOC is a congenital liar who launches new hoaxes every day. The world's going to end in 12 years. She saw people drinking out of toilets. Cauliflower is racist. And so she projects onto everything in the world, look, this piece of paper in my hand is racist. It's white. Oh, look, we're here in New York at the community gardens, and it is not yucca, it is cauliflower. And we need to have the strength to plant yucca. That's actually what she says. She's like, we have to do it, the racist cauliflower. And you're like, is this Monty Python? Is this? No, this is not unintentional comedy. This is a very serious person trained in liberation theology. Now, she's not really smart, but she's carrying out the talking points of Imagine you go to community gardens and you're going, look at the racism, they have cauliflower. The white people eat it. They do. And that's how it is in New York City. It's like they think Texans all wear cowboy hats every day and ride horses to work. Nothing against folks in New York. It's just these stereotypes are insane. In the North, they think anybody that eats chicken fried steak or collard greens, but it's some big weird black thing. And then if anybody's ever seen eating fried chicken, they go, oh, Bernie Sanders had some. Oh, Bill Clinton had some fried chicken. Not that he's a pedophile. Not that he's a criminal. But that he eats fried chicken. So it's projecting all of this mental illness onto everything to break down society. And then meanwhile, as the third world collapses under its own socialism and corruption, under globalist exploitation, the very globalists weaponize these people to bring them into our nation states against us, to be led by people like AOC and then Pelosi, who's helped set all this up, helped prepare all this. He's trying to explain to AOC, you're supposed to go to colleges and to bars and to churches and speak all the anti-American stuff. You're not supposed to do it on the nightly news every day. We're about to take over in a race-based system. You're going to be handed the baton for a racial dictatorship over white people, but you need to not let them know. Shut up. But if you look at Congresswoman Presley and all these folks, when they were down a few weeks ago at the Texas border, lying their butts off, they're like, we're going to burn it down. Revolution, war, violent revolution. It's time for a physical revolution. And you look at the swaggering arrogance of Presley or the swaggering arrogance of AOC with those meth eyes, those crazy lady eyes, or any of these people. It's not because they've got melanin in their skin, because Pelosi looks like a crypt keeper and she's pretty nuts too. It's just that you're even more entitled and even more crazy. And AOC was also whining in the same letter she put out saying, Pelosi gives me work to do because I'm brown. She tries to make me do work on committees because I'm brown. I don't want to do the work. I mean, it's like this get out of jail free card that is put out everywhere. And it's only going to get worse until people reject the insanity. But instead, oh, I don't like a Betsy Ross flag on Nike. Yes, sir, Mr. Kaepernick, we'll get that right off, sir. Oh, I don't like a Thomas Jefferson statue. We'll tear that down right away, sir. And you've got all these Republicans and all these different people that are constantly appeasing all of this. In fact, they've got more Republicans out today saying, yes, let's take down any Confederate general statues. That's just pieces of history. But they want it all taken down because once you have the power to take that down, you have the power to get rid of words themselves. And you know the final target, the American flag, and then this nation is completely captured. But I wanted to talk about the Democrats eating their own and how far down do you think it'll get? How crazy do you think it'll get? I'm going to give the number out starting at the next segment for first-time callers, specifically on the social media summit where Trump pledged to defend free speech. Let's see some action then. But we're starting to see him build up, starting to have the public hearings, starting to have the events. I believe Trump will try to act. The question is, will it be a day late and a dollar short? We're also opening the phones about the Democrats beginning to eat their own. We're also going to look at some of the other social engineering, like this little tidbit on Infowars.com and NewsWars.com. Social engineering, top BBC soap opera, features storyline about man converting to Islam to find peace. That's right. Everyone across Europe is being encouraged to join Islam, including Saturday morning cartoons and after-school programs. Tell people, join Islam. It is the religion. Monday through Friday at 8 a.m., there's the David Knight Show right out of these studios in Austin, Texas. Then I come on live, 11 a.m. 3 p.m. Central. Then you have the War Room with Owen Schroyer and a lot more. We are well into the special 34-hour live broadcast here. Well, thank the crew for doing a great job. I was going to host last night, but I started exercising a lot harder and swimming long distances for me. But I drank a lot of water the last few days and went for a hike and worked out yesterday morning. And I had a little heat stroke yesterday. Got a fever, was shaking, got home, drank a bunch of electrolytes and felt a little bit better. But I'm still out of it a bit here. So that's why I wasn't here last night. It's probably not best to hike around when it's 105 degrees. But I haven't had a heat stroke or something like that since I was in high school. So that was not fun. By the time I got home last night, I like fell into the bed. Side issue, just explaining why I wasn't here last night when I said I'd be hosting yesterday evening. Let me just do this right here, because this is all too important. At the start of the next segment, I'm going to get into... let me just tell you what's coming up. We have an exclusive interview with Tommy Robinson, who is a real political prisoner, who has been imprisoned for journalism. And Katie Hopkins shot it as he went in to the prison. And this footage has not been seen, and it's powerful. So that's coming up in part of the third hour. Constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes is going to join us, dealing with Facebook's draconian announcements that they are going to be organizing people into violent mobs to attack conservatives. That's in their terms of service. But if you read deeper into their own statements, they're preparing to exercise their power worldwide to overthrow governments, you name it. They've done this before under Obama and Hillary's tutelage. And so they're still just ongoing at this point, a clear and present danger to this nation and the world. That is coming up as well. Caitlin Bennett, who was in D.C. last night, she's arriving right now. She'll be in studio in the second hour to talk about all the incredible things that she's been witnessing across the country via Liberty Hangout. And I do also want to open the phones, as I said, specifically on the Free Speech Summit. We covered it live. I was impressed. It was better than I thought it'd be. Trump had Josh Hawley there, the senator, who's been leading the fight against big tech before he was even in the Senate when he was Attorney General of Missouri. He's leading 20 other attorney generals in meetings that are set to start this week and next week in Omaha to decide how the states can go after big tech and defend free speech. So a lot of really exciting things happening on that front. Trump saying he is getting ready to take action against them, against big tech for election meddling, and that he has the proof. So their stonewalling isn't going to work anymore. So I'm overall very, very pleased. We'll play, obviously, some of the highlights of that and more of Josh Hawley's statements coming up, because Trump's good when it comes to big tech. But Hawley is really the guy that's going to be quarterbacking a lot of this. And if we can't get control of big tech censorship and election meddling, we might as well stick a fork in this goose, because it will be cooked. But when we come back, I'm going to give the number out right now. I'm going to take some calls this hour into the next hour. I'm going to do my best not to leave you on hold, but we've got 20 phone lines. So I tend to take about 10 calls and leave the other group on hold for an hour. So we're going to only take 10 calls on the board. Then I will get to those calls. And then if we have more time, I'll open them up again, because I just don't want to make you sit there, and I apologize when I do that. So the number is 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. Please, only first-time callers. Give callers who haven't had a chance to call in a chance. We went to break, and he got hung up on. Carlos called in yesterday, making some really great points about Epstein and what's happening there. If you can get back on, Carlos, we'd love you to get in as well. But first-time callers, 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. Okay. When I said that AOC is eating her own, that's putting it lightly. Saying that Pelosi is a racist for not voting the way AOC and three other freshmen want. That's just not how the legislatures work, lady. And it just shows the total disconnect to play the race card when you're part of the Democratic Party that is absolutely rolling out the red carpet and saying white people are the devil. And the fact that you'd use that against your own boss just shows how incredibly ignorant AOC is. Hey, AOC, the race baiting is supposed to be used on Republicans and people you want to dominate, not on your own party, dum-dum. But you see them eating their own with Joe Biden and the rest of it. So that's all going to be coming up as well. And then this story is up on Infowars.com. Trump just made these comments about 45 minutes ago. Trump confirms story he threw Epstein out of club, says he never went to Epstein Island, and that the media shouldn't be making him the focus of it. He says you should be looking at who was riding on those airplanes, who was getting on board, who wasn't being put in the manifest correctly. And we have his own Labor Secretary, Alexander Acosta, stepping down this morning. That is coming up at the start of the next segment. Now, let me throw this in. I want to thank the listeners during the 1776 Worldwide Special. It was going to be a money bomb, but I got busy and never created the page for it, for the donations. And we'll do a money bomb in a few weeks. We get so busy with news that we're kind of a ragtag organization sometimes. And we brought in a little bit extra money yesterday, about $50,000. But because of that, because of the stuff being discounted so much, that's like $20,000. That doesn't go far. I can assure you, sending eight people to D.C., even staying in moderate hotels and paying for airplanes and paying for everything was $8,000, you know, $10,000, just in the last three, 4 days. We're trying to run a news organization, and I'm not complaining. I'm saying thank you for supporting us. Thank you for doing your shopping with InfoWars on things like high-quality coffee, fish oil, turmeric you're going to need. Iodine is so essential. We have the best B12 out there, pure methylcobalamin, Ultra 12, twice as strong as Secret 12. We have that at $17.76 right now. Ladies and gentlemen, comparable brands are like $80 of this stuff. This is pharmaceutical grade, but put in a regular bottle and sent to you and your family. This is the same stuff I get from a medical doctor for like $60 for three shots or whatever, and then I inject into my stomach because it energizes me and gives me incredible energy. And again, it tastes sweet, all of it. I'm not saying inject it. You can't inject this type. It's not sold for that. This is over the counter, but it is the highest quality grade there is. Ultra 12, ladies and gentlemen, we're basically selling it at cost right now. 95% reviews. We're very, very proud of it. You take it under the tongue. But all the other products are great. Super Blue, fluoride-free toothpaste, 4-5 with colloidal silver iodine. We have dozens of items that are $17.76, including all T-shirts, all ball caps, all apparel. We have all the other products are 75 to 25% off. 75 to 25% off. Ultimate Bone Broth, even though that's about to sell out. We did a huge run of that almost 10 months ago. And despite the fact it's close to selling out, Ultimate Bone Broth is $17.76. We've never sold it for that. Regular retail, ladies and gentlemen, is $40. InfoWarsStore.com. Just shop with the good guys and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide. And you can also sign up for auto ship, an additional 10% off on that next order. We'll be right back with all of the huge breaking news. Please stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Well, the media has been spinning it like the conservatives started a fight with the CNN reporter. The CNN reporter said, I'll take you outside. We're going to play some of that exchange and then get into Trump saying that he threw, we already reported years ago, Epstein out of his club and that he thought the guy was a creepazoid and that Bill Clinton should be investigated. But first, here's what happened at the social media summit yesterday.
This is a group of people that are eager for demonic possession.
Demonic possession?
And you're a journalist, right?
That's right.
Hey, come this on over here and talk to me, brother. We can go outside and have a long conversation.
You're
threatening me now in the White House.
I'm not going to
threatening me
get
in the Rose
Garden. Get him.
You are a punk. You're not a journalist. You're a punk.
Representatives of the totalitarian leftist media apparently warned the cameras being shut off when President Trump called for questions at the end of the social media summit.
What message would you have us send to our followers about what's being done to them and the importance of this issue for 2020? Because a lot of people out there who call into my show don't want to use their real name, are afraid of putting their views up on the...
And it wasn't long until the spoiled children of the mainstream media began issuing threats in the Rose Garden.
Be sad.
No, I'm just standing alone. This is a group of people that are eager for demonic possession.
Demonic possession?
And you're a journalist, right?
That's right.
Hey, come on over here and talk to me, brother. We can go outside and have a long conversation.
You're
threatening me now in the White House.
I'm
threatening me in the Rose Garden.
Get him.
You are a punk. You're not a journalist. You're a punk.
Go home. Journalist, go home.
Hey, Corka, get a job.
Hey, just for the record, he'd kick your punk ass.
Following the summit, a dust-up between Joy Vila and a lamestream reporter who was attempting to school us all on the use of fact-checking copy editors after countless retractions and libelous false claims have been made by leftist media hell-bent on silencing the truth.
That's not journalism. That's having a voice.
That is journalism.
No, a copy editor embedded fact is what constitutes legitimate journalism.
If you're going to tell us
when you have a staff of people that verify your facts, then you can call yourself a reporter. You have an opinion.
Where are you
label
from?
Yourself as an opinion. When I write
you
a piece, that's an opinion.
Yourself, that's an opinion.
I do.
Everything
and when I write a feature, it's labeled news. And when it's a feature, it's labeled news. And when it's an opinion, it's labeled opinion. That's the difference.
And you just read in book just a minute ago. You told him to go outside.
I said I would talk to him. I didn't threaten.
You know what that means.
Right here.
Everybody knows what that means.
Come over here and talk to me, brother. We can go outside and have a long conversation.
No, what are you going to do?
Talk.
You could talk to him right here.
I can talk.
Why would you take him outside?
I'd be happy to talk.
Just be a gentleman.
That is being a gentleman. I didn't threaten to kick his butt. I said I would talk to him.
We all know what they mean.
No, man.
Before the summit, a completely propagandized interview with Washington Post tech overlord Kat Zakrzewski, claiming that censorship of conservatives, aka truth-seeking websites, media bloggers, journalists, YouTube personalities, etc., was merely a fantasy. No one has been censored.
I think today's summit will focus a lot on the president's repeated accusations that social media companies are biased against conservatives and censoring conservative voices online, which is a claim that is based on widely disputed evidence and that the companies themselves have repeatedly denied.
The president has complained about that he feels that conservative voices are sort of stifled, he's outright sort of accused Twitter of removing tweets that were too conservative. But he didn't invite them. So is he really trying to correct the problem?
Well, the challenge, what's happening here is the systemic gaslighting that is bad-mouthing over and over again of social media platforms and these
ads. All right, let's fade this down in this report from John Bowne. This is mainstream news, corporate media, telling you nobody's censoring conservatives, nobody's blocking them, even though we have all the executives admitting it, all their internal documents, and the same shows and the same host saying they want us shut down, they want us silenced. And CNN saying that they want all conservative talk radio taken off the air. But then they say that we're gaslighting the media, the corporate media, the establishment media, when we say they're doing this. This is just insane how they have no respect for the truth and how dumb they think we are. But it doesn't work. The average mainstream cable television show has about 100,000 viewers. They're a joke, ladies and gentlemen. But the facade still stands, and members of Congress, many of them, still shaking their boots at mainstream media. Let's continue.
Media platforms and these accusations that come without merit that are designed to make us feel pretty poorly about these social media platforms.
Pause again.
I understand it.
Back that up 20 seconds, please. He talks like this to us like we're 3 years old. This is designed to be mean to the social media. Facebook never did anything wrong, neither did Google. And they sit there with all this consternation about, can you believe this horrible conference the president's having? Can you believe he's doing this? He's up there making up stuff about the media. Meanwhile, the media, the corporate media, hates independent media so much, they try to physically attack him. Continue.
platforms and these accusations that come without merit that are designed to make us feel pretty poorly about these social media platforms.
But as I understand it, there's also some individuals who are sort of more shadowy characters, if you will, that one would not normally see as journalists or anything along those lines. Is the president legitimizing some of these sort of edgier conservative voices?
Yeah.
In one of the many articles panicking about the meaning of all of these patriotic concerned voices against free speech oppression, at least Al Jazeera had the wherewithal to publish the SPLC's battle cry behind the left's complete disregard for the First Amendment, posting Heidi Beirich of the SPLC's quote about the summit, which reads, "For years, we've watched social media serve as a gateway to radicalization and, far too often, real-life violence. Bringing these groups together is beyond irresponsible. It is essentially conducting a hate summit at the White House. I ask you, America, when is enough enough?" John Bound reporting.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, for InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. All right, I said I would get to this clip of Trump, but I wanted to get to that first because I'd forgotten that I had that on my list of things that I absolutely wanted to air, because we all know that the dying dinosaur media, the old corporate media, the known liars are hell-bent on shutting their competition down. And they've been leading the charge for it, and they've been calling for it, and the SPLC and Media Matters are out there policing, demanding everyone be taken offline. They disagree with. It's so authoritarian. It's so draconian. And then they sit around, though, and go, oh, the president's having a conference vowing to do something about this. He's crazy. He's making it up. He's doing this to attack the poor little sweet darling dear social media companies that have been flagrantly abusing everyone's rights en masse. Very dangerous time for not just this country, but for the world. All right, John and Matt and Peter and Trent and Eric and Hassan and all you guys, we're going to get to your phone calls when we come back on the other side. And we're going to also have Caitlin Bennett in studio, as I said earlier. And I'm going to get to Trump confirmed story. He threw Epstein out of club, says he never went to Epstein's island. Also, Trump Labor Secretary Alex Acosta resigns amid pressure from Jeffrey Epstein trafficking case. And speaking of that, there's been more bust for sex trafficking of Democrats that we'll be getting to coming up on the other side as well. But whatever you do, remember, we have real censorship taking place. And if they can get that through, and if they can cement this censorship, they will derail the recovery of this country, and they will never let us get back on our feet again. They are making their tyrannical move on us now. This is an incredible time to be alive. Welcome back to this live Global Friday edition. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Your calls coming up here in just a moment. But here is Trump earlier today. The full video is on Infowars.com, talking about Jeffrey Epstein, the already convicted pedophile, now who's been indicted and arrested again.
I was not a fan of Jeffrey Epstein, and you watched people yesterday saying that I threw him out of a club. I didn't want anything to do with him. That was many, many years ago. It shows you one thing, that I have good taste. Okay? Now, other people, they went all over with him. They went to his island. They went all over the place. He was very well known in Palm Beach. His island, whatever his island was, wherever it is, I was never there. Find out the people that went to the island. But Jeffrey Epstein was not somebody that I respected. I threw him out. In fact, I think the great James Patterson, who's a member of Mar-a-Lago, made a statement yesterday that many years ago I threw him out. I'm not a fan of Jeffrey Epstein.
Anything on
And Trump said that many years ago, but the media is trying to make it about Trump just because he'd met him and knew him, two fellow billionaires. It's very dangerous because Trump has the bully pulpit and can bring up, oh, look at who was on the airplane. Look at who stayed at his house. Look at that. And so they're going to end up losing this as well. This is their house of cards beginning to fall, and they are definitely scared right now because that's how the deep state controls people is criminal activity, particularly pedophilia. How many years have I told everybody this? Oh, I'm crazy. Jones is nuts. It's all beginning to come out. So the globalists have failed again to get me off the air. Now, here is Alexander Acosta, who said he wouldn't resign 2 days ago. Well, he did resign today.
I think he was a great labor secretary, not a good labor secretary. He's done a fantastic job. He's a friend of everybody in the administration. And I got a call this morning early from Alex. And I think he did a very good job yesterday. Under a lot of pressure, he did a fantastic job. And he explained it. And he made a deal that people were happy with, and then 12 years later, they're not happy with it. You'll have to figure all of that out. But the fact is, he has been a fantastic Secretary of Labor. And Alex called me this morning, and he wanted to see me. And I actually said, well, we have the press right out here, so perhaps you just want to say it to the press. But I just want to let you know, this was him, not me, because I'm with him. He was he's a tremendous talent. He's a Hispanic man. He went to Harvard, a great student. And in so many ways, I just hate what he's saying now, because we're going to miss him. But please, Alex.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over the last week, I've seen a lot of coverage of the Department of Labor. And what I have not seen is incredible job creation that we've seen in this economy, more than 5 million jobs. I haven't seen that workplace injuries are down, bucking a three-year trend. Workplace fatalities are down, bucking a three-year trend. That we had the safest year ever in mining, the lowest number of fatalities ever in mining. I have seen coverage of this case that is over 12 years old, that has input and vetting at multiple levels of Department of Justice. And as I look forward, I do not think it is right and fair for this administration's Labor Department to have Epstein as the focus rather than the incredible economy that we have today. And so I called the president this morning. I told him that I thought the right thing was to step aside. You know, cabinet positions are temporary trusts. It would be selfish for me to stay in this position and continue talking about a case that's 12 years old rather than about the amazing economy we have right now. And so I submitted my resignation to the president effective 7 days from today, effective 1 week from today, earlier this morning.
All right, so there you go. That's probably the right move because this is a total distraction from Bill Clinton and all the little kids and all the rich guys that were on board the airplanes, a lot of well-known billionaires, all of them Democrats, all of them, you know, some of them own big airline companies. And I guess they like virgins. I mean, a lot of this is about to come out and they just keep trying to put it on to Trump. So I believe that Acosta did resign on his own because they're going to keep using him as a punching bag. And again, I find any evidence that Trump's involved in any of this, I'll go after Trump. But I vetted all this before Trump ran or while he was running. None of it's true. Now, the Democrats, that's a whole nother subject. Just the telling people to bring their kids or kids to come across the border. And up to a third of them aren't with their parents, and there's massive child smuggling. That's really going on. Democrats don't care. It's just amazing. Okay, John in Waco wants to talk about the social media White House event yesterday. Thanks for calling, John.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, Mr. Jones.
So what's on your mind today?
Oh, man, I got a lot on my mind. Actually, I just finished listening to your Tinfoil Hat interview you had a few months ago. So it kind of got my wheels spinning. But speaking about the social media summit, I wanted to address it with a personal testimony, something that Trump had said about Twitter. I think Twitter probably deems me as an inactive user. I'm 24 years old, so it's kind of my generation's platform. But I've tweeted once the last few months. I only follow a few people, and he's one of them. I got onto my Twitter a couple of weeks ago and noticed that my account had unfollowed him. And I thought that that was weird. I didn't think it was a coincidence at all at the time, but when I heard Trump's statements about what he thought Twitter was doing, it really just kind of struck a chord with me. It's definitely not a coincidence at all.
In fact, since you mentioned it, that's a great point. Let's play Trump talks about Twitter shadow banning at Social Media Summit. That's what they do. They don't let people see your tweets, or they unfollow people, or on YouTube, they unsubscribe you. And then we have all the internal videos and clips of the big tech heads bragging that they're rigging things. Then they go to Congress and lie. Stay there, John. We'll come back to you. But since you mentioned it, here is what the president said.
Logically, I would think I'm okay. Just okay. But I'll tell you, a lot of bad things are happening. I have people come up to me, sir, we want to follow you. They don't let us on. And it was so different than it was even 6-7 months ago. I was picking up unbelievable amounts of people. And I'm hotter now than I was then, okay? Because, you know, you also cool off, right? But much hotter, especially with a nice new stock market like it is, right? But no, I'm hotter now. And I go to dinner, I say, hey, what's going on here? It used to take me a short number of days to pick up 100,000 people. I'm not complaining. We're like at 60-some-odd million, but then we have five different sites. We have another site with 25 million. We have another site with 10 or 12. Then we have Facebook. Then we have Instagram. We have a lot. We got a lot of people. Way, way over 100 million. But I used to pick them up. And when I say used to, I'm talking about a few months ago. I was picking them up 100,000 people every very short period of time. Now it's, I would say, 10 times as long. And I noticed things happening when I put out something, a good one, that people like, right? Good tweet. It goes up. It used to go up. It would say 7,000, 7,000, 8, 7,000, 17, 7,000, 24, 7,000, 32, 7,000, 44, right? Now it goes 7,000, 7,000, 8, 6,000, 998. Then they go 7,000, 9, 6,074. I said, what's going on? No, it never did that before. It goes up, and then they take it down, then it goes up. I'd never had that. Does anyone know what I'm talking about with this?
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. They are gaming it. And see, that's just shadow banning and blocking and putting throttles on. They also boost people attacking the president to the top. He'll block them, and then federal courts rule, oh, you've got to let them do that. Okay, but then I can't be on Twitter. What the president needs to do is promote other platforms and move people away from Twitter. But Jack Dorsey lied to the president. The president's mad. He's about to take action. What do you think he should do, John? Because you've experienced being unfollowed. You try to follow the president, you're being unfollowed.
Correct, yeah. And you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, looking at other platforms would be the answer. And that definitely leads me into kind of my last question for you. I wanted to get your advice on this. A, what platforms do you see being good to move to? And B, what kind of advice would you give someone who's my age, 24 years old, or about the age you were when you got into this game, who wants to join the fight, who wants to have their voice heard, but feels YouTube and Facebook are no longer friendly social medias to do so? What do you say to people like that?
Well, we're going to break, but I'll come back. I appreciate your call, and I'll comment on that more, John, from Waco, Texas. I would be on a lot of platforms, and I'd still be on Twitter, Facebook, all that. But I would push it to Telegram, I'd push it to Parler, Gab, a bunch of others. And I would still go and try to get a local talk radio job. It's easier than ever to get a talk radio show. If you do a good job, people will tune in. And that'll kind of give you some basic, you know, historical training. There's also a lot of other things you can do. But the key is just take action. We'll be right back.
Coming to you live from the Infowars.com studios in the recaptured state of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
You know, the last caller from Texas asked a question that I could spend the whole show on. How do you try to get into the media nowadays, especially with all the censorship and social media? If you start, say, a gardening show, and then do it for a few months and then work in some other news, maybe some shooting, and then start making political commentary while you're shooting, the leftists, the bots will kind of go over you, and you could build a big following. You could do stuff like spelunking and, you know, talk about it, or this urban spelunking, or people go into old areas of Detroit and stuff and, you know, shoot videos about that. Pretty much anything interesting. I'm trying to give you, like, side angles of how I get into media. Or people go in and they scuba around in these clear rivers and find all this urban treasure. And then you could tag on a political movement and a website where you push people off the big top social media sites to your own site, where you then can really be yourself and do what you want. InfoWars has built systems where we have our own audio, our own video. We're trying to categorize it better. We're about to redesign the sites and have something that's easier to access. But it just takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy. I would say that, I mean, that question again, the quickest way to get an audience is to be passionate about what you are talking about and what you believe in, and to end up being accurate over time, and to just keep doing what you're doing, and to do it for the right reason, that you don't care about building an audience. You just care about speaking the truth. I mean, anybody could start with what they call, you know, a local news station, Central Valley News or whatever. And then you just go out and show city council meetings, county commissioner meetings and school meetings or the state house. And if you get good video and get good interviews and show good exchanges and have a good logo, people will start going to your site. Hey, find out more at Central Valley News. That's just a hypothetical. Just some random name. Sure, there is a Central Valley News. There's probably 50 of them. But that's how, and then pretty soon you get some sponsors, and then you're able to expand what you're doing. But you're not going to get blackballed as fast as somebody like me, who is politically seen as getting Trump elected. So people like Paul Watson and others, we're targeted because we're effective and because we've been doing this for a long time. Paul, for 19 years. I've been doing it for 25 years. People think of me doing this a long time. I approached Paul right after 9/11, so about 18 and a half years ago. And, you know, Paul started Summit.News, and it's not as blackballed as bad as InfoWars or Prison Planet. And so his site, on average, he was telling me, has about 4,000 users on it at any one time. That's exciting. That's 4,000 people on average at any one time are at summit.news. Well, that's exciting. So I told Paul, you got to make it more personal, you know, with him doing live feeds. And but he likes to write 15 articles a day and do the rest of that. But that's really what it comes down to, is if you want to get into media, I would say just do it. Let's say you got some family land, you got some firearms. Go out, talk about firearms, talk about cleaning firearms, talk about firearm safety. You know, shoot some stuff up, videotape it, put it out on YouTube. Doesn't have to be, you know, superstar level, and that'll start gaining you followers. I mean, I'm not telling you go the gun direction. That's just one of the easiest ones that already has a built-in audience, and it's something that's interesting. Because I know what I watch. I watch fishing videos and urban treasure hunting videos and scuba diving videos and shark videos and gun cleaning videos and just stuff like that. I don't watch really any mainstream media anymore. I watch some so-called news, but it just all gives me a headache. I like watching real, regular people. Evil is real, and people need to stop denying its existence. You have people like the Night Stalker, the Night Crawler, other famous serial killers that go out and do the most horrible things you can imagine because they have a dark energy, a dark force inside of them that wants to hurt innocents. And as soon as you realize that the force behind globalism is an anti-human, post-human construct, the sooner we have a chance of turning it around. And I say that because even though I've known this for a long time, it's still really hard to believe. It's hard to come to grips with. Here's a little piece that Darren McBreen put together to the tune of Judas Priest's Nightcrawler, dealing with psychopaths. And we'll go to your phone calls.
So when do we cut off abortions? At what week?
I think at 3 years old is when we should.
So I look at everything from a child's perspective.
I had prisons full of children.
I'm not an animal. I'm not crazy.
I think most humans have in them the capacity to commit murder.
I'll see you in Disneyland.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
I didn't even get to this yesterday. There was a big article on Infowars.com that we'd linked to that announced that the big new initiative of the National Library Association will be teaching LGBT tolerance to children through drag queen story time. And they're teaching 20,000 librarians to carry it out under grant auspices, and that the children, of course, will now learn to ride horsey on the men's laps. We showed you that last week. People could not believe it. The children now are encouraged to hump the men. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, humping men in public. This is how pedophilia, the grooming, is done. If that isn't satanic, if that isn't evil, I don't know what is. Now, let's go right back to your phone calls ahead of Caitlin Bennett joining us in studio. Let's go to Trent in Arizona, then Eric and others. Trent, thanks for calling. We'll talk about the White House social media summit. Trump says he's taking action. I sure hope he does.
Me too, but it kind of showed, I do love Trump, but it kind of showed his ignorance yesterday in his speech a little bit. So thankfully, Josh Hawley knows what's going on. And
I was about to say, I didn't want to say that, but Trump doesn't have a clue about how the internet works. Why don't you explain it to him?
Well, I think you've done a good job of explaining it. You can just tell, though, in his speech, oh, I just see my followers go up and down. Yeah, well, it's a lot more involved than that. You know, they're actually banning people like yourself from social media altogether. Oh, I might have actually won the election even if I didn't have social media. Bull, that's not true.
Oh, he would have he barely won because of the massive election fraud. He had a landslide, but without social media, he would have lost. Absolutely.
But what I wanted to say is, as I was watching the White House social media summit, to me, it showed the true power of InfoWars, because I'm looking and I'm seeing Brandon Tatum. Oh, I started following him after seeing him on InfoWars. James O'Keefe, Joy Villa, Diamond and Silk, Jack Posobiec, Cassandra Fairbanks, all people that have been on InfoWars and got a huge following after being on your show. And no offense to anybody, but it is unfortunate that you weren't invited, although I did hear Ali Alexander say that you might have some meeting with Trump in the future. I don't know.
Well, let me say this. I think Trump did the right thing by not inviting me, only because it would have become the entire event. And yes, most of these personalities either got their initial launch or their big boost from InfoWars. But listen, do we forget who really gave Project Veritas the boost, or who really gave Joy Villa the boost, or who really gave the boost to InfoWars? It's Matt Drudge. And so he's the guy. I mean, why wasn't Matt Drudge invited? Well, I guarantee you Matt Drudge is at the White House all the time. So he doesn't need to be invited. It's kind of good to be behind the scenes. And so just let me assure you that if I would have thrown a fit, they would have probably let me be there. But I just didn't want to do that. I want to take the high road. You saw that Dash was screaming at Trump saying, do something now about censorship. He tweeted 4 InfoWars links out the next day. We had the White House call us and say, what are some links you want us to send out? But again, that's the pat on the head. I don't want to be given morphine while I'm being killed. I don't want to be killed politically. And so I'm not saying Trump's bad, but he hands out these little, you know, lollipops after you go to the dentist to get your tooth worked on. I don't want that. I want to see big tech broken up. They are out of control.
Absolutely. It would have been nice to see you confront that guy in the Rose Garden, though. That would have been great.
Don't you love how the CNN guy threatens to take the guy outside, and as soon as the guy runs over, Gorka runs over, he cowers? Again, they're all talk.
Isn't that the same guy that tried to fight Mike Cernovich?
It is, yes.
I thought so.
By the way,
yeah.
When you look at these mainline reporters, they all look like they're, I'm sorry to say, are mentally retarded.
Mentally retarded crypt keepers.
It's something else. All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Really great points, Trent. My biggest frustration is that the average conservative is such a nice person that they project on everybody else that the country's okay. No, it's not okay. This country is in critical condition. And we've got a chance to save it. But we're in critical condition. And just because Trump got in doesn't mean anything if we don't deal with these globalists. The globalists are openly trying to overthrow the country. You can't parlay or make deals with them. They're openly saying, shut down all talk radio. Members of Congress are saying that. They're saying, arrest me. They're saying, Alex Jones being taken off the internet is essential to America's survival. Senator Warner has said that. Senator Wyden has said that. Senator Murphy has said that. Senator Blumenthal has said that. And then everybody sits around debating whether we're being censored or not. Eric in the great state of California, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
No, thank you, Alex. I just wanted to start by saying I've been a huge fan of yours ever since I saw Police State 1. That must have been about 15 years ago. And I think you're an excellent filmmaker, and I'm hoping to see more films from you in the future. I know you've been doing a lot of live stuff, but
we need to do more films. We need to put them out. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I also wanted to talk about the social media summit, and I felt like there wasn't enough emphasis on YouTube, because I mean YouTube's really where it's at. And you look at, you know, right away when they started the censorship, they started going after the Proud Boys streams and your guys' streams, because you always have the boots on the ground and you're showing what's really happening in real time, and the mainstream media can't control the narrative when you guys are live streaming.
Well, that's it. They want to be able to have Antifa attack a bunch of innocent people, but every time we show the footage, it blow their operation. And so now they've banned anybody that tries to live stream at an Antifa event. That's why you've got to create duplicate streams that you use at those that aren't on your IP address.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't do much live streaming myself, but I just really hope we could keep the message going.
But brother, that's what I'm saying, Eric. You're just as smart as I am. You're probably better than I am. We need all of you to start a generic sounding news site. Like, what town do you live in?
San Diego.
So something like San Diego News Unlimited or something. And you go out and cover some generic stuff, some whatever, gun shows, whatever. You go, and then all of a sudden, boom, you've got a profile they're not watching. Now you're able to live stream at events just as a reporter and show what's happening with no political bias. It will still devastate them. Exactly what you just said, Eric. The fact that you even exist, the fact that there's a camera there showing what happened, doesn't allow mainstream media to distort and lie. Any other points, my friend?
Yeah, I just want to say it's a war zone out here in California, so we're hanging on strong.
Hold on, don't hang up, don't hang up. I'm going to come back to you. We're going to take more calls with Caitlin Bennett. Stay there, Eric. I want to hear what California's like. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I'm going to continue with your calls, Eric and Matt and Ernie and Hassan and a few others. And again, Alex Jones here back live. We have Caitlin Bennett here with us, who has her own great site and reaches hundreds of millions of people online on Twitter and YouTube and other platforms for now, Caitlin Bennett. But she got told last week, do not link to anything Alex Jones. In fact, don't wear an Alex Jones shirt And so 7 months ago, she'd worn an InfoWars shirt, and they told her, oh, do that again, we'll ban you. And then you were telling me that you guys got harassed in public again. What's some of the stories you're going to be covering here?
So we're going to talk about, I went to the Home Run Derby in Cleveland because my fiance loves baseball, and liberals just can't stand seeing a conservative enjoying their life, you know, breathing, being happy. They can't stand it. So they decided to harass and attack him and flung his phone, broke the case, all that good stuff. And then they ran away. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Instagram and the social media censorship. You can't even wear a InfoWars logo on your shirt or they'll take it down for hate speech. I think we should get into the social media summit a little bit, and I'll just go with the flow.
And they also say that none of this is happening at the same time. There's no censorship while they call for it, while they carry it out.
Well, when I was with you in D.C. for the Google hearing, there were Democrat congresspeople up there saying, as you're sitting in the audience, saying there's no conservative censorship going on, that's not happening, let's not pretend that that's going on like it's a conspiracy theory, when Google has admitted that's what they're doing. YouTube has admitted that's what they're doing. They're doing it to Elijah Schaefer of Slightly Offensive. That's crazy news right there. They're just doing it to everybody. So it's disingenuous and it's disgusting that they just lie.
Why do you think the lying has intensified? I mean, it's like AOC saying there was nobody at the 4th of July event last week and then saying that it was doctored photos and video when it was obviously wasn't doctored. It was all over all the networks in live time, or saying people are drinking out of toilets, or saying now that Pelosi is a Nazi because Pelosi won't do what she says.
Well, they have to. With social media, I think what Trump maybe doesn't understand completely is that social media is why he won. It's because we were able to break away from the fake news, from the mainstream media, and we were able to see the lies that's going on. So we don't have to just take their word for it. People can go out and investigate on their own. They can report on their own. They can post things on their own on social media platforms. So they have to lie because we're just exposing them. We're seeing that, you know, they can go from these little lies, and then when we expose them, they have to make them even bigger to seem like we were lying in the first place. So it's just this, it just keeps going and going and going. They have to lie to try to break us down and try to make us give up. But we're not going to give up. We're going to keep exposing them. We're going to make sure that they don't get away with it.
And you just laid it out. First, they started demonetizing people 6-7 years ago a little bit. Then they would totally demonetize. Then they would shadow ban. Then they would demonize. Then they would totally ban. And then once you're totally banned, they really start lying about you. And now Facebook had a terms of service that they changed it back, saying we're going to allow people to organize your murder, which is really what Facebook is for, is overthrowing countries. So they're really showing us what they're planning.
So I love that. So if Paul Joseph Watson wouldn't have posted their new policy about that, they wouldn't have overturned it. And that's the great thing about social media. That's why they want everybody to be banned that's going to point out these things, is because if we are taken off, then we can't expose these policies where they say that they can organize murder against people on their dangerous individuals list. You're not a dangerous individual. Paul was not a dangerous individual.
But even if you, quote, were, you can't organize in a gang extrajudicially to promote the murder of someone or to call for their murder. And that's the thing, though. Is that if we didn't have NewsWars.com and we didn't have InfoWars.com and this radio show, TV show, we wouldn't have been able to get that out, because Paul's been taken off Facebook and everywhere else. We wouldn't have been able to tell people and they wouldn't have reversed it.
Absolutely. And that's the point. That's why social media is so important, because we can expose these things. You know, how far would they have taken it if Paul wouldn't have seen that? How far would they have taken it? You know, would they be advertising, you know, people to go out and hurt you, or Paul Joseph Watson, you, would they be advertising instead of just kind of throwing in to their new policy? Who knows how far they're going to take it? They're mad that Trump's going to win in 2020, and they have to make sure that his supporters aren't even alive.
That's right. And they were always planning to control what you say and do. They were always, I've got mainstream articles here today that we'll cover when we come back, admitting that Google employees listen to you in your home under orders every day over the Google assistants. Well, of course they do. That's always been the plan, is to get you to accept stuff beyond 1984. Eric in California got cut short by the break. I wanted him to hold over. Eric, you were saying that it's a war zone in California. Please elaborate.
Oh, absolutely, Alex. It's unbelievable. You know, I'm born and raised in San Diego. I've lived here for well over 30 years, and I've just seen the decline. You know, every year it gets worse, more and more homelessness, more and more gang violence, and it just seems like there's no interest to do anything about it over here. And the worst part is that 99% of the state is actually conservative. So we have these small pockets of Democrat-run cities that are just walking all over us, and they're systematically taking control of the entire state.
I mean, by the way,
in Orange, go ahead.
I've criticized California myself before, but it's the same thing with Texas. They come in, they get the cities, then they engage in election fraud, and then it's over. These are criminal groups that want illegal aliens to vote. And so Texas is turning blue as well. You're absolutely right. How do you ever break the back, though, of the election fraud?
I have no idea because, you know, now Jerry Brown passed a law that allows for vote harvesting. And I just have a feeling it's going to get even worse. I mean, you look at what happened in Orange County during the midterms. And Orange County was 99% Republican during the primaries, and they flipped every single seat.
That's right. So California is almost completely blue now, despite the fact that you can't swing a stick and not hit a conservative when you're there. What's going to happen with the exodus, though? There's definitely a brain drain out of the state.
I don't know. You know, the only thing that I can see is that things get so bad that eventually people start waking up, you know? I mean, California used to be the place to be, you know, back, you know, under Reagan, you know.
It's a beautiful state. Caitlin, let me ask you this. Why do you think blue cities are always so hellish? Because they really are just covered in feces and needles and crime now.
Well, they're sanctuary cities. You can't take out the people who are coming in and causing these type of things. They are controlled by liberal politicians who control the police force, tell them not to act on things. I interviewed a Latina person, a Latina Trump supporter, at the 4th of July parade. And she said that you can see all of the illegal immigrants all over her city, but the police are just staring at them, not doing anything because it's a sanctuary city. But if she were to jaywalk, she would get a ticket or she would get in trouble. And the police looked her right in the face and told her about that. And we have her.
That's right. Testimony. Citizens are second class. In fact, I was just hearing that LA, because the homeless problem is going to forgive all warrants on the homeless. And illegal aliens are already above the law.
Absolutely. It's disgusting. I don't know how we've gotten to the point where Democratic politicians care more about non-citizens than they do about the people who are actually going to vote.
Well, it's because they're exploiting them as well. Eric, God bless you. Appreciate your call. Great points. Okay. We're going to come back and we'll get to more calls as well. But we're going to get into you being attacked at this baseball game. And when we've got the video of this, it's coming up with Caitlin Bennett on the other side. I'm Alex Jones. Please remember, the only way people see this information that the globalists and big tech hope they don't see is for you to share it via text message, via email, and via word of mouth from Infowars.com and Newswars.com. Live, raw, and uncensored.
Live, raw, and unfiltered. It's the Alex Jones Show.
And Caitlin Bennett riding shotgun with us. She wants to get into the social media summit. She wants to get into going out in public. A lot of fans, but also some enemies. Why is the left so hateful? What are they going to do next? And your phone calls. And then I've got huge Jeffrey Epstein news that I haven't even gotten to yet. But we're going to cover that coming up, start of the next segment, and your calls. Get into what happened, the baseball game you went to just a couple days ago. We'll play some of these clips.
Yes, so I went to the Home Run Derby that was in Cleveland. And I know nothing about baseball, but my fiance loves it. So we went, and it's in Cleveland, and that's where I'm from. So a lot of people recognize me, a lot of enemies, like Alex said, but also a lot of fans. But I encountered the enemies that day. The stands cleared out after the Mets won, and this guy recognized me, a male who is supposed to respect women and who is supposed to protect women, who is supposed to act like a man, gets his phone out and he starts harassing me, telling me I suck. He's flipping me off. He's cussing at me. So I get out my phone and, you know, I record him doing all of this stuff. I ended up having to run into the women's restroom to get away from him because he started following me. So I went into the women's restroom, and as I'm going in there, a group of girls recognized me, too, and they were so drunk, just wasted, acting like complete idiots. And so I go into the bathroom and my fiance's outside. He's like, don't come out yet. They're still here. And I was like, you know what? Go up to him. Tell him to leave me alone. Tell him to stop because they were talking about me. They were talking about what they were going to do when I get out. They were
and let's be clear. You guys always turn the other cheek. You show how vicious they are. And so, you know, your fiance, you know, honors your wishes not to, you know, really get involved too much. But he's a tough guy. But now you're watching a baseball game and it's getting, and you're getting cornered.
And I'm just so sick of that. I shouldn't have to run into a bathroom to get away from people who are trying to either hurt me, because I don't know what these people's intentions are. They can act nice to your face, but the second they just get pumped up, they will attack you. They will attack. It's like something is wrong in their brain, just switches, and they will
attack. They're like mad dogs.
Yeah, they'll attack out of nowhere. So he starts recording them, like, I can hear you talking about her. Leave or I'm going to get an officer. Like, you can't harass people. This is private property. You can't be acting like this. There are rules on the stadium about harassing patrons. And then they realize that he's recording them, knows that the camera's on there. He says, this is the intolerant left. And she just hits him, hits his phone right out of his hands, goes flying like 6 feet. I walk out. I'm like, where's this girl at? Let's go. I'm so tired of people getting away with hitting him, hitting me, and nothing gets done about it. And of course, I can't do anything. I can't defend myself. I can't, you know, go on the offense because...
Well, there's so many videos of you and others where they're attacking you and the police come over and say, you've got to leave when you're just walking down the street.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the left is angry and they're allowed to attack a nice, well-spoken female reporter.
Exactly. They hate me. They hate it.
Someone... And Tommy Robinson has been sent to prison. They go, well, he's in contempt. Oh, really? Well, what about the guy that did Hitler dog as a joke? And now he's facing prison time. This is a police state of the left.
And they take it literally, like the left, they take it literally as if we are damaging this country, as if we're out to hurt and murder people. So I think that's why they're just trying to attack.
Well, what they are is low IQ, stupid gang member type people who think they're God. And so, you know, you've heard of driving while black. Well, what about going to a baseball game while being pro-Trump or conservative? Because they recognize Caitlin Bennett. Here's some of the clips. Look how weird that guy is. What a wimp. He looks like a mental patient.
Yeah. This is how men act in 2019. Come to a baseball game and they have to yell, acting like they're idiots, beta males. Look at this. Who's he talking to? His mom? Who's he FaceTiming his mom, telling him he finally talked to a girl? This is embarrassing. Sad, liberal,
powerless little weirdos.
Wow. All right. And then there's a man right there just watching it happen. He's got to go home with that every night.
Beyonce, come out so you can rest. I'm going to go get a police officer. So you can step out, okay? Okay? Walk that way or I'm going to get an officer. Please walk that way or I'm going to get an officer because I know what you're about
I'm
to do.
I'm just hanging out by the bathroom.
I know you're going to harass her. I heard you talking about
what
it.
What am I harassing her?
You were going to harass her.
I said I saw her.
I know you were going to harass her, right? Right?
Harass her for
I know
what?
You're going to harass her.
Harass her for what?
Exactly. They're so drunk.
Officer.
Okay. And do what?
Okay. So I can put you in handcuffs.
Freedom of
and take
speech,
your leg.
Freedom of guns. What's your difference?
If you harass her, I'm going to get an officer.
What's okay. the difference?
Okay.
It's her fiance.
Okay.
Your girlfriend's
okay.
trash and okay. she.
You can stay away from her. I'm going to get an officer.
Oh, okay? You like.
You can get away.
Oh, I'm so scared. You're going to get away from there. Yeah.
This is the tolerant left right
you're
here.
You're
going to
videotape me.
Yep.
Me, I'm going to videotape me. And they attack the phone.
And then they run away.
So to be clear, they've been following you around. They've been attacking. He stands up to them. They attack and run off.
Yep. Yep.
Men and women. And again, I'm going to say it. They're almost always white. And it's white people leading this whole movement that white people are inherently bad. And that you, a woman, famously at your university when you graduated, wearing the AR-15 on your back. The idea of a woman being able to protect herself is supposedly so scary and so dangerous.
And that's the thing. And these are the people in the city, around the city that I did it in. So that's what they know me for, is having firearms and protecting myself and not being afraid to show that I will protect myself and I have the means to protect myself. It's like they don't care anymore. They know that I carry firearms.
And she stomps over and says F you and a bunch of other names.
Yeah,
you're a piece
obviously
of crap.
You can't use a firearm if someone just, you know, calls you names. But it's amazing the lengths that these people will go to.
Well, that's my point, is that They're attacking you because they know that you're someone who believes in the Second Amendment, and it shows how entitled and how deranged they are.
And I don't know if they're just trying to provoke me to see my breaking point to where I finally just, you know, stand up for myself.
No, these are power mad people who don't have any power and who just watch mainstream TV and who hate Trump. And so to them, Caitlin Bennett is Donald Trump, and so you deserve to be attacked.
Well, that is pretty flattering for me to be Donald Trump. But it's amazing that they can't even let someone that they don't like with a political ideology that's different than theirs go to a baseball game. That's how deranged these people are. And this isn't me complaining. I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm not a victim because, you know, I'm a strong female. I'm not a victim. This just goes to show that we need to step away from the Democratic Party. If there's any Democratic listeners out there, you have got to break away from this mind control that's going on.
But let's roll some more footage of this guy. I mean, if you, TV viewers can see him, he looks like someone that escaped from a mental institution. And we're not saying that to be mean. When you go out to any Democrat event or you run into them, most of them look like they've had a lobotomy.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to be a man. He's supposed to be a man. No girl watching this is going to say, yes, I want that for my future. I want that to be the father of my baby. I want to have a life with him. No one's going to say that looking at this dude. Like I said, he's probably FaceTiming his mom.
I asked Gab McGinnis like 3 years ago, what is peak leftist going to look like? And he said, I don't think there is a peak. It's just going to get crazier and crazier.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, we have AOC. I thought that was the peak. But it's just getting crazier. It's getting crazier.
Have you seen where AOC is now saying that Nancy Pelosi is a racist because Nancy Pelosi gives her too much work to do on the committee she's on?
I don't think I've seen that. No, but I believe it. I believe it. I mean, if she believes that people are actually drinking out of toilet water in detention centers, then she'll say anything. She'll say anything.
Well, I mean, I guess she's a bartender. Nothing wrong with that. But she doesn't know that most members of Congress are lawyers, and lawyer hours are like when they are working like 80 hours a week. That's what they do. And so they put her on powerful positions right away. That means, lady, you're going to have to work a lot with your criminal agenda. But she doesn't even want to work to carry out the criminal agenda. She's pissed that Pelosi put her in positions of power.
She wants to complain. She wants to complain. She wants to get the likes and retweets on Twitter. That's what AOC and people like her are. They want the likes, they want the retweets, they want to be popular, they want to be in the media, they want to be in the headlines, but they don't want to change the things that they're complaining about.
Well, of course, it's the Democrats telling everybody to flood the borders.
Yeah.
And they turn around and say that we're making people drink out of toilets, which is a damn lie, and calling the Border Patrol agents all Nazis when it's not true. And she says abolish the Border Patrol. Can you imagine if there was no border? I mean, these people are crazy. We'd just be northern Mexico then. And in case you don't know, folks, northern Mexico currently right now is a collapsed, failed area. Be right back. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Here's some of the news that's been breaking. Court rules President Trump can defund Planned Parenthood, will cut almost $60 million in taxpayer funding. Shifting gears, before we get back into AOC and some more of your phone calls, here with Caitlin Bennett of Liberty Hangout, riding shotgun with us again. I'm Alex Jones, your host. You have this whole situation with him selling his big jet that he trafficked all these kids on a few weeks before he gets busted again. The whole thing just reeks of a controlled, limited hangout. You've got the Justice Department filled with all these Obama and Clinton and Bush holdovers. You've got Comey's daughter running it. The indictment's very limited. I just wonder what this is really all about. We have another report here. Claire Brothman pleads guilty in NXIVM sex cult case, leaving leader to stand trial alone. We've got clips here where the Lady Rothschild, you know, introducing all these people to all these different groups. It's just amazing. More than 12 new Jeffrey Epstein accusers have come forward. Meanwhile, his temple burned down a few months ago, and now all the special statues and things have been removed. Reportedly, he had a steel safe in a room nobody could enter on the Caribbean island. employees are saying. Everyone knew it was, quote, a pedophile island where kidnapped little kids were taken, not just on his aircraft. That was the girls that were 14, 15. We're talking 10-year-old kids being brought in by sex traffickers by boat to his own. He had actually two islands. And so it's just disgusting. Work permits link Victoria's Secret billionaire to Epstein's New York house. We've got a whole bunch of these top Obama and Clinton people also on board the aircraft, including Bill Clinton himself. This is what we've always said they're using, shadowy intelligence groups, criminal groups within intelligence agencies, foreign and domestic, using pedophilia as a way to compromise people.
So as you're sitting there reading all these headlines, I'm sitting here thinking, I haven't even heard of that. I haven't even heard of that. It's all this stuff keeps coming out. I feel like the media has had to know about this. The mainstream media has had to know at least about some of this, but they aren't running with it. And it's like, why? Why aren't they running with this? Well, we know why, because they're all in cahoots. The Democrats are all in cahoots with all this stuff. But it's crazy how much stuff just keeps coming out of this. It's hard to wrap your head around it.
I wonder what's going to come out next.
Oh, well, what's next is they're going to try to say Trump did something. The next thing is going to be trying to tie Trump into it even more, which we know, and he has said he has nothing to do with this Epstein stuff. He has nothing to do with the island. He doesn't like him. But the next
and he said you should investigate the island. Speaking of that, here's that clip of the president.
I was not a fan of Jeffrey Epstein. And you watched people yesterday saying that I threw him out of a club. I didn't want anything to do with him. That was many, many years ago. It shows you one thing, that I have good taste. Okay? Now, other people, they went all over with him. They went to his island. They went all over the place. He was very well known in Palm Beach. His island, whatever his island was, wherever it is, I was never there. Find out the people that went to the island. But Jeffrey Epstein was not somebody that I respected. I threw him out. In fact, I think the great James Patterson, who's a member of Mar-a-Lago, made a statement yesterday that many years ago I threw him out. I'm not a fan of Jeffrey Epstein.
Anything on...
Okay, speaking of that, here's Alan Dershowitz, who was a lawyer for Mr. Epstein, telling who he was introduced to Epstein by. Here it is.
I was introduced to him by the Lady Rothschild. The people he hung out with at the time were the president of Harvard, the provost of Harvard.
Yeah,
my relationship with him was academic. We went to conferences. We had seminars in his office. None of us had any inkling that he had this other life. And as soon as we learned about it, obviously, all of us ended any kind of a social relationship. I then became his lawyer. I'm proud of the fact that I represented him. I represented a lot of controversial people, and we got a deal. Some people criticize the deal, but you can't criticize the defense attorney for trying to get the best deal possible. But I want to categorically again state, I never met this woman. She made it up completely. I will continue to say that till the day I die, and when I die, my children will continue to say it. It's a total categorical lie.
All right, Alan, we appreciate you coming on tonight. This story is explosive, and the underlying allegations against Epstein are horrific. I appreciate your joining us tonight.
Well, if folks ask why Dershowitz sued to get these documents of the supposed victim, it's because the documents then showed that he was not listed there. And I know a lot of people make false allegations. The point is Epstein was being protected. Alan Dershowitz's name is not on the manifest of the aircraft. Alan Dershowitz... I don't think there's evidence was involved in this. And I'm not just defending Alan Dershowitz to defend him. I think we're seeing things turn into red herrings. Trump, Alan Dershowitz, this over here, that over there. What we know is that there's massive pedophilia around the Clintons in Haiti and in Mexico and in their top people being caught smuggling kids in. Some that end up dead. And Hillary Clinton, the first people she represented as a lawyer. And I get it. You deserve a defense lawyer. But she chose to defend rapists of children, hardcore pedophiles, and then make jokes about it.
I interviewed someone at, again, the 4th of July parade who said that Hillary Clinton's job was to defend this rapist. She was doing her job, and it's not her fault, and it's okay that she did this. And I was like, how can you call Trump a rapist and then sit there and call Kavanaugh a rapist with no evidence? And then sit there and say that Hillary Clinton's okay for choosing to defend this rapist and then laughing about it afterwards.
And then being married to a serial rapist, Bill Clinton, But I mean, the issue is that for these accusers of Kavanaugh, a bunch of them have admitted it was fake. But they said, but it's Kavanaugh. He's bad. He deserves for us to say this about him.
It's just sad. It's disgusting. It's hypocritical. And I don't even know what else to say about it. We keep seeing it year after year, and it's not changing. We can point it out as many times as we want, and it's not changing. All this crap can come out about Epstein and the Clintons and what happens in Haiti and everything, but it's not going to change. Nothing's going to happen with that.
Well, how the mainstream media works now is if they can get somebody to lie, they will pay them to do it. And I've experienced this myself where they call up people, they offer them money. A lot of folks say no. They call me and tell me about it. Others take the money and then they'll just make up completely made up stuff and then it's published. So, but in the case of Epstein, you have the aircraft, you have the people, you have the hundreds of victims, you have all this going on and you have all the classic criminals involved being protected. And now they're starting to circle the toilet bowl. All right. We're going to go to break and come back and talk to Matt, Hassan and Ernie. Then we've got, Robert Barnes joining us to talk about the media summit, and Caitlin Biddle continue to ride shotgun. Please do not forget, ladies and gentlemen, that we are listener supported, and we're running the 1776 worldwide special right now. All the apparel, all the great t-shirts, including designer t-shirts, are 1776. We have 75 to 25% off store-wide on everything. And there are just a lot of great deals. And it's your purchase, your ongoing purchase of the products that allows not just what you see here on air, but a lot of other reporters and people who are independent, but that can't basically, obviously, get around the country and do what they do on what YouTube pays them, because YouTube has demonetized a lot of folks. And yes, InfoWars over the years, and about to expand that hopefully, has just helped over 100 different groups and individuals, from Project Veritas to Tommy Robinson, with very large donations, no strings attached. I've made bigger donations to Project Veritas than Trump has. And Trump's made some big ones. Because if I see somebody strategically who's kicking ass, and I've got money that's coming in, I just give it all away. Well, with all the boycotts and the attacks and the lawsuits and the globalists, we've gotten to where we are not as flush in money as we once were. And you've been coming through regardless, but I don't want to just sit here and have InfoWars contract. I want InfoWars to expand. We've got some major projects I'm not at liberty to tell you about yet that will devastate the globalists. And you know, I don't just sit there and say to people that we are going to devastate the globalists. We've been doing it. We know how to attack them. We know the truth. We know their real system. We know the blueprint. So that's why we need your support. So get your fish oil. Get your best turmeric bodies. Get all the other great products that you need every day. Get our great toothpaste, fluoride-free with colloidal silver and iodine fortified. Get your X3. Learn about the iodine conspiracy, the good halogens versus the bad halogens. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And if you really want to help us, go to InfoWarsStore.com on the right-hand top side. There is a banner that says donate. And that way we get 95% of the money that comes in, not just 20% or whatever from a product sale. So again, just make a straight donation to us and it will go right into a lot of very exciting projects that we have already launched that are very successful and some others we haven't launched. But I'm telling you, we have never been in a position better covertly to do some amazing things that you'll learn about down the road. So whatever you do, spend that money today at InfoWarsStore.com, a total 360 win. And I thank you all for your support. But we are in your hands. You are in your hands. All right, Matt in California, really appreciate you holding.
You are the resistance.
That's right, you are the resistance.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So, like I said, Matt in California, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Go ahead. All right, Matt, appreciate your call.
A concept. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah. I got to get something real quick.
Alex?
Just okay.
But I'll tell you, a lot of bad things are happening. I have people come up to me, sir, we want to follow you. They don't let us on. And it was so different than it was even 6-7 months ago. I was picking up unbelievable amounts of people. And I'm hotter now than I was then, okay? Because, you know, you also cool off, right? But much hotter, especially with a nice new stock market like it is, right? But no, I'm hotter now. And I go to Dan, I say, hey, what's going on here? It used to take me a short number of days to pick up 100,000 people. I'm not complaining. We're like at 60-some-odd million, but then we have five different sites. We have another site with 25 million. We have another site with 10 or 12. Then we have Facebook. Then we have Instagram. We have a lot. We got a lot of people. Way, way over 100 million. But I used to pick them up. And when I say used to, I'm talking about a few months ago. I was picking them up 100,000 people every very short period of time. Now it's, I would say, 10 times as long. And I notice things happening when I put out something, a good one, that people like, right? Good tweet. It goes up. It used to go up. It would say 7,000, 7,000, 8,000, 7,000, 17,000, 7,000, 24,000, 7,000, 32,000, 7,000, 44,000, right? Now it goes 7,000, 7,000, 8,000. 6,998. Then they go 7,009, 6,074. I said, what's going on? No, it never did that before. It goes up, and then they take it down, then it goes up. I've never had that. Does anyone know what I'm talking about with this? I never had that before. I used to watch it. It'd be like a rocket ship when I put out a beauty. And you say, that's the collusion. It's a collusion between the Democrats and the media and social media and these platforms. It's a disgraceful thing. And another thing, I believe you're representing a young man who just got slugged, viciously slugged. I think it's a disgrace. Do you ever notice they pick on certain people? I mean, he would tell you he's not the toughest person in the world physically, right? They don't go after bikers for Trump. You ever notice that? They don't go after our construction workers who love us. They don't go after the police. They don't go after... We have incredible people. You know, we're the elite. They say they're elite. You know, do you ever hear this? Hey, I live better than all of them. Great education. The greatest houses. But I guess I'm not elite. They live like in the basement of their mom's home. Their arms are this big. Look, like this. But they have the black... They have the black masks on, and they have sticks, and they hit people. They hit people in the face, in the head, this Antifa. But you ever notice Antifa's never there when we have a bikers rally? They're never there when the construction workers and the unions are honoring the president. They're never around. They're always there when you have a single guy protesting in front of a school. And as you probably know, I think all of you know, we did something very serious. I signed an executive order recently. We're taking money away from those schools. We're going to, you know, we give them billions and billions of dollars and they don't allow free speech. And we don't want anything special, but we want free speech.
Through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Well, Robert Barnes is a constitutional lawyer. He does work with InfoWars, and I wanted to get him to pop on to give his take on the social media summit yesterday and the signals that Trump put out saying he's going to go after social media and the censorship, the election meddling. I want to get Caitlin Bennett, who's also a journalist, her take on this. She's been censored quite a bit. She's been blocked. She's been attacked. Robert, what do you think this signifies? How big a deal was this conference yesterday?
Well, it was a good start. I mean, it might not have been a perfect start. There are some things that I think that could have also been added to the equation. And there's sort of an internal battle in the White House between that side that sees this as not a big issue. Often some of the apparatus of the administration are connected to big tech. You know, you have people like the National Review Organization takes money from big tech. Reason and Libertarian Foundation takes money from the Koch family, which supports big tech. So you have that wing, and then you have the Don Trump Jr. side of the equation, which has been arguing to his President Trump to take more overt vocal action, because clearly the president has taken a lot of direct action, but it hasn't been using his own platform to achieve it with consistency. And yesterday was a great start in saying that now it's time for the president to use the power of his platform to start to lobby directly big tech, to give his own opinions about what's happening in big tech, and that he's going to continue to accelerate and escalate the presidential action and executive action that's needed and necessary to tame big tech. And if big tech doesn't hear the message, they're going to get a more direct message from the power of the presidency itself. So I thought yesterday was a good start. It could have gone further. It needs to continue to go further, but at least the president's on the right track.
I totally agree with you, because so far he's had that whole Koch brother wing trying to block him and lying to him. But the Don Jr. wing, the American people wing, his supporters wing have proven what's happening. And Trump said he's getting ready to take action. So I think we're getting close. What do you think?
Yes, I think this was, in the president's mind, this was a last call, last attempt for big tech to sort of voluntarily come to the table. And that's, I mean, he even basically overtly said that. He said if things don't change quickly from the direction they've been going in, then he's going to take more direct action himself. And he's going to do that within the next coming months. And so I have no doubt that's what I think what the president thought. Well, he talked about it, how he sat down with them. They made promises and then they didn't keep those promises. And so I think he's been thinking, well, look, if I just talk to them, they'll realize they need to voluntarily correct themselves and that they don't want to get into a battle with the presidency of the United States as an institution, not just the president as an individual. But what he's seen is that what it does is they just double down, triple down, move forward, go forward, don't step back. Now you have big tech lobbying the president to take action because Europe's going to impose a special tax on them and they want retaliatory tariffs to be imposed. Well, they're in a bad position to request that kind of economic relief when they're engaged in the political manipulation that they're engaged in. So I think he has clearly sent a message that they need to back down and change course. My view is that they don't get the message. They've grown up in their own safe space culture of their own kind. And consequently, they need the power of the presidency to come directly on their heads before they learn the lessons that the president's trying to get them to do commit to voluntarily.
And I totally agree with you, because they've gotten away with so much illegally spying, illegally selling info, lying to Congress for decades, that they just believe they're invincible, just like they couldn't believe when Hillary lost and they were all putting out internal videos saying, we'll never let that happen again. There's an article out today out of Mashable, more than 1,000 Google Assistant recordings leaked. And oh boy, it turns out that your private and intimate moments aren't that private after all, if you use Google Assistant, that is. According to Belgian broadcaster VRT News, devices with the Google Digital Assistant are recording conversations and sounds inside the homes of their owners and sending those messages to humans for review. Well, so is your cell phone. Google Home is just one of several devices equipped with Google Assistant, which can also be found on Android phones. Perhaps most troubling, at least some of those recordings do not appear to have been triggered with the additional phrase like, hey, Google, or yeah, or 100,000 recordings were leaked, much like Amazon's Alexa. Well, of course, that was the whole plan of this, to get you to invite the Trojan horse in from the beginning.
So what's scary is they make you rely on Google. They make you rely on these services that they give you, the big tech gives you. And then you don't have really any alternative because you're so used to using them. And they're sneaking in there, taking your privacy, taking your data, selling it, giving it to the government, wherever they're going with it. And then you're like, well, crap, I want to quit using it. But what else do I go to? It's like they have a hold on you then because you're so used to it. You don't know how to use anything else.
Robert. They're trying to be too tyrannical to fail, too omnipresent to fail, and it appears, to be clear, that they're just engaged in a total technocracy takeover in their own words, and that they know they've been caught. They're just going to keep racing towards the finish line. Do you agree with that summation, and where do you think all this ends?
Absolutely, and I think the biggest danger we currently face is that there's the Koch wing of the White House. Really thought that if they just did some sort of a show hearing, a show proceeding, that would satisfy the president and satisfy Don Jr. and satisfy the wing of the White House that recognizes how significant and consequential this is. I believe the president made clear yesterday that he recognizes how serious this is and how significant this is, and he's not going to be slow-walked or sweet-talked into the sort of tech tyranny that big tech wants to impose through the Chinese social credit model on the rest of the world. And I think there's no question that what she's talking about is correct. They use the monopoly power that's inherent and unique to big tech. In other words, for most monopolies, you have to go out there and acquire economic influence by other companies, so on and so forth. What's unique, as Peter Thiel has talked about in big tech, is that there are natural monopolies once you get to a certain space in the economic marketplace. And what it does create is the tech tyranny that you talk about, that it, because they have a natural monopoly, if they misuse and abuse that power, the risk that they misuse and abuse that power for their own political partisan purposes and economic self-interest against the will and interest of the people and fair elections and a free market and free elections and free press and free speech is extraordinarily high. And the fact that they are testing and tempting the president of the United States repeatedly and routinely, to the extent that Twitter magically goes down right during the time period that his social media summit starts.
That was my next question, I mean, to both of you. What do you think that was? Right as the event starts, for like an hour and 15 minutes, it goes totally down.
So I don't know if they were just reminding us that they have the ability to shut it all down. And I don't think it was shadow banning. I don't think anyone was being targeted. It happened to everybody's Twitter. I think it was just maybe them reminding us they have control. They can do what they want. They don't have anything else. You know, Robert, I want to ask you a question because I've been asking this kind of myself. Do you think it would be this bad? Do you think the censorship would be this bad if Trump had not won?
I think they were going to accelerate it. I think they were going to use FCC regulations and rules and their control over the FCC and others to go full scale, wholesale right away. They were going to use the premise of a Russia collusion, delusion, conspiracy.
Yeah, I think it was going to be worse. They had all the top Democrats ready to get rid of talk radio.
Okay. I've always thought that, you know, are they so mad that Trump won that they just went?
Hillary was going to come in and do all this anyways.
Okay.
And now that Trump's gotten in, they're still carrying out the plan.
Exactly. And the other component to that is that the only thing that is in they may not have meddled in elections as much, because they didn't meddle in 2016 to the degree they could have, because they thought they didn't want to be blamed for Trump losing, and they thought Trump for sure was going to lose. So all of the speech control, thought control, press control activities, surveillance, all of that was going to accelerate and would be much worse if Hillary had been president. But the election meddling is what has accelerated because of Trump's victory. So that part is, and for example, they may not have chosen InfoWars as the first target if Hillary had won. They may have chosen someone else because it would have been so obvious what they were doing if Hillary was president and they targeted InfoWars right away. Whereas the election meddling went up the priority rank of big tech's priorities once Trump won. So that's the only difference.
That's right. I want to ask you both when we come back, what do you make of, and that's why you're originally coming on, Robert, about Facebook putting out new terms of service saying they can incite violence against people. We're going to break right now, but this is just stunning, Caitlin.
It's absolutely stunning. And just like Trump said, they walk in there, they lie to him, they get away with it, and they act like they never had a conversation with him.
So what does this signify? What were they really doing? And then withdrawing the new policy with Caitlin Bennett, Robert Barnes, and myself, Alex Jones, and all of you out there on this live Global Friday edition. Please stay with us. Remember, I'm not just saying this, it's the truth. Without you spreading the InfoWars.com or NewsWars.com or LibertyHangout.com, we don't get the information out. Robert Barnes is our guest via Skype. We have the awesome Caitlin Bennett here in studio with her crew in there. I was sent a very, very sad interview, but also powerful at the same time, with Tommy Robinson by Katie Hopkins, who also does work for InfoWars.com, when he was sent into prison yesterday for his speech. That is coming up at the start of the next segment. It's about 15 minutes long, then I'll sign out at the end of the hour for the fourth hour coming up. It has Dr. Nick Begich hosting, and then the War Room continues on to finish up the 34-hour 1776 worldwide transmission. Again, thank you all for tuning in. Robert Barnes, what do you make of Facebook You read it, very clear language, saying you can incite violence unto death against someone, or you can help others do it. If that person has been labeled dangerous or bad by us, and that is, again, a political designation, and Facebook's been used to overthrow countries, to start the Arab Spring. They're now allowing petitions to overthrow the U.S. military and charge into military bases and charge into the emergency centers on the borders, or to charge in, I saw it in the news, a big petition on Facebook, to attack Area 51, which is really just a toxic waste dump. So we see that Facebook, with 2.4 billion members of the re-education camp, really is flexing its muscles, wanting to really just come out and run the planet.
Well, what you have is you have big tech trying to convert itself into a modern-day contemporary re-education camp. It was interesting. I was listening to Andy Ngo, I guess his name is pronunciated No, the reporter who got beat up in Portland, talk to Dave Rubin, and he was explaining why he had a unique perspective was what happened to his parents in Vietnam. His parents not only lost their property, but were sent to labor camps and re-education camps. And it was always a reminder that probably most kids these days have no clue that re-education camps really existed. That isn't some fabrication or fiction or fantasy. That's an actual historical reality. And what's happening is big tech is trying to recreate its monopoly control over thoughts, ideas, and speech really around the world increasingly, not just in America, as a modern-day, contemporary, real-life re-education camp. And that was reinforced first by the bannings that it did, but then by saying you cannot use the name Alex Jones or the name InfoWars in any positive or favorable light ever. And then they took it another step by saying any individual that we have identified as quote unquote dangerous can now be, you can have calls for high severity violence against them. I mean, it was an extraordinary statement. It wasn't just a matter of accepting or excluding certain people from certain protected categories. It was really an explicit call for people to do that, to have a call for high severity violence against those that Facebook has designated as dangerous. So this shows the degree of dangerousness itself that Facebook presents to the freedom of speech, the freedom of thought, and freedom
of action.
Let's
be clear. They've got the phone number and the background and the data on 2.4 billion people. Hitler, you know, could only order around a couple million soldiers, and Zuckerberg wants to start, they've already used it to overthrow countries, and now they're wanting to say, hey, go out and target who we don't like. Set up a flash mob for a rock concert, have a flash mob at Tucker Carlson's house and kill him.
That's exactly what's going on here, and it's scary. This should scare people. This should scare anybody across the aisle. If you're a socialist and you hate Alex Jones, it should scare you that a big tech platform like Facebook is actively saying, go out, hurt the people we've deemed as dangerous, and they know, they let you know who they think is dangerous. Laura Loomer, Alex, Paul Joseph Watson, Milo. It could be you guys next. So you need to stand up with conservatives and say that this is ridiculous.
Robert Barnes, why do you, I mean, we talked the other day and I agree with your summation. Why did they put it up there and then remove it, this new terms of service?
It was a test. They continue to do this. They continue, just like when they took down the president's Twitter for a day. It's testing and teasing what they can get away with. And so the other thing here that's important to recognize is what big tech is doing is corresponding to and in alignment with what the Antifa street violence is meant to do. So it's very much a recreation that you talk about in some of your prior documentaries, Alex, of the 1930s street violence that the communists and the fascists used. And in order for that violence to take place, just like the Klan violence that took place in the South in the 1960s, where if you traced it and tracked it, and I used to study it when I was in undergrad, what you find is that they rely upon a green light from the powers that be. They need a white citizens council to help achieve that kind of racist violence. They need some approval, some wink and a nod from the establishment, the political establishment, the media establishment. Andy Ngo talked about that extensively. So the greatest reason why Antifa presents the violent risk it does is because they keep getting a green light from powers that be in mainstream press.
We've seen a bunch of CNN hosts. We've seen MSNBC hosts. We've seen Democrats say Antifa's good. They're doing good work.
Oh, they're doing fantastic work. And then they say that there's good people over there. You know how people just get up in arms when they hear Trump said that in Charlottesville there were good people on both sides. But the same people will say that the Antifa were the good people, the other side were bad. There wasn't a distinction. No, that's not the case here. If you are out hitting people with crowbars because They can't fight. I mean, look at them. They can't fight. So they have to hit people with crowbars and nunchucks and brass knuckles. So, you know, I don't know. Do we stand up and fight them back? Do we fight in the streets?
Well, clearly they're trying to trigger a civil war because they can't win any other way. In closing, just briefly, Barnes, even mainstream media says it's very rare what happened in Connecticut with this special appeal being picked up by the Supreme Court. Briefly, give us your take on that, on the whole Sandy Hook situation.
I mean, the Connecticut Supreme Court is a liberal Supreme Court. So the assumption was that they would not be willing to look seriously at the legal violations that were taking place there in the Sandy Hook trial court proceedings, the constitutional violations that were taking place there. That's part one. And part two was it's very hard to win that kind of emergency public interest appeal. It's a one in a thousand at best. You almost rarely see it granted at any time at all within an entire year can go by without the Supreme Court in Connecticut ever granting that. So for them to grant it was a strong signal, strong sign that the excesses of what's been taking place in Sandy Hook, where there's been a misuse and abuse of the legal proceedings to try to silence speech and silence press, where the media itself has been mislabeling what's taken place in order to lie and libel about your reputation and past. It was a precedent-setting case that shows where this case is ultimately going to go. This ultimately will go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we will reestablish First Amendment freedoms in America. And the fundamental First Amendment freedom of press and freedom of speech case in the entire country will have Alex Jones's name in it. So it's thanks entirely to the audience that's made this possible by continuing to support InfoWars despite this establishment onslaught, this media onslaught, this lawfare onslaught to continue to support InfoWars. They have kept alive the little d democratic dream of the founders from the original.
They certainly have. And to be clear, folks, this isn't an appeal after a case. This is an appeal, an emergency appeal right up front, super rare. Normally, it's just like if the judge gets caught being given a suitcase of money, then an appeal would go up and they would take a public interest. So this shows you that even the liberal Supreme Court is like, what in the hell is being done to Alex Jones and to the First Amendment? Very exciting. Robert Barnes, thank you for spending time with us. Look forward to talking to you this afternoon. If you can speak, I've got a few items to discuss with you, and I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Caitlin, you're going to be here this weekend. You're going to have some live events coming up. We'll carry your information at InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. I've got this Tommy Robinson final interview before he went to prison. Count Dankula is going to go to prison, too, for his Hitler dog joke. So people that say, oh, England's free, got another thing coming. So that's coming up. But thanks for coming to Texas.
Thank you for having me here. I love it.
And I was under the weather today, but I still came in because we got such a great audience and a great crew. So we're here. Stay with us. Tommy Robinson, straight ahead.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
I'm here for the sentencing of Tommy Robinson at the Old Bailey today. Real kind of sense of, there's something in the air here. Is it excitement? Is it nervousness? I feel nervous for Tommy. I can't imagine what it's like for them coming down on the train. I'm about to go meet him off the train. Press pack already here. I would say a crowd of about 200 forming and banks of police officers here. So a nervous time and a real sense that this is the state versus the people.
Let them know we're here for Tommy Robinson and we're not standing for what they're doing to him.
Hey, it's not going to turn, are you?
How are you doing?
Doing Kate, you alright?
Yeah, you alright?
Well,
I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Out
sick.
I just got shocked.
Shocked that this got this far.
How can they do it? I just don't get how they can do it.
No.
Not when you read, not when you, if anyone watches, if anyone watches the video.
Yes.
If anyone watches the video.
Yeah.
Then sees what the judges are saying I've done.
Yeah.
It's not there. It's not on the video.
No.
They're saying I incited my followers to attack the people. It's not on the video. I didn't do it.
You didn't incite them. They're calling it vigilante.
But I didn't ask. I was talking to the media. I was addressing the media. I was asking the media, why do you harass us? Why do you follow us? These men are now convicted of raping children. They're all walking the streets. Why don't you follow them?
Yes.
I was saying to the media, why don't you follow... Instead
why
of persecuting
don't you follow
us,
the guys raping our children?
They're all on bail. They're working in chicken shops. They're working with children. They still have contact with children. That's what I'd found out. That's why I went up there. Why don't journalists go and take pictures of them? Why do you always harass us? That's all I was asking. It was a rhetorical art. And I specifically mentioned the media. I said, you go take pictures and put them online and slander us. And then they've took one line out of that, out of an hour-long discussion, and they've convicted me on...
ever a chance that you were going to get a fair trial?
Well, it's not... A fair trial would be a jury. But the reason why you have a jury is for fair justice. That's the reason. Magna Carta, that's English common law. But this is through the back door, the Attorney General, the government, have managed to get me before appointed judges. This judge was appointed 2 weeks ago. She was appointed 2 weeks ago. Appointed judges in order to convict me. And even my barristers are just like, what? How can they find you guilty on taking a picture of someone walking into court?
Tell me what's in your bag.
That's it in my... A glass doll.
It's a blow-up doll?
No. In my bags and my shorts.
It's not a bad plan, no. Tommy. No, people would support you in that. What is in your bag?
Just comfortable stuff. My slippers, my shorts, trainers, pants, socks.
Tuna?
No, tuna, no.
No tuna.
Nah, you're not allowed to bring that in.
Are you ready for another weight loss regime in prison?
I'm ready. My kids ain't.
Ugh. And your wife? People are with you, though. You know that, don't you? You all right? Oh, it's going to be all right.
I'm just shocked at it.
Oh, man. There's a lot of people up there now, Tommy. So what you're going to do is you're going to go up there. You're going to stick your chin
gonna
up.
I'm going to go up there because my head, that's
yes,
the best
you
thing.
Are,
I said
and you're
going to
put your chin up and your shoulders back.
Yeah, I've been convicted of journalism. Yeah, and that's why, if you're Americans, to understand what's happening.
Yes.
I'm probably getting, there will be attempts on my life in this prison sentence.
There will.
How can I be getting put in jail? I asked someone, how do you feel about your verdict? That's it. As a journalist, I didn't break any laws. Anyone who investigates this case looks at the laws. I haven't broke the laws. My barrister...
Tell me who you do all this for, Tommy. Who is all this for? Why are you doing all this?
I do this for my kids. And I said to them, it's not just my kids, because that's where I have the difficult argument, the conversation with my wife. Even my son said, I said, like, I'm going to go in. And my son said, because my barrister had said, if you apologise today, they'll mitigate and they'll reduce the sentence. If you apologise. I got offered a deal where if I apologised and pled guilty last year, this would have gone. I said, how can I apologise?
You wouldn't apologise.
How can I apologise? Because how can I apologise? My ultimate goal is to raise awareness of what's happened to our daughters across this country. If this judge can sentence me to a big prison sentence today, she's going to do my job for me.
And if you die inside...
It's going to go.
You died because of what?
That's what I said, the cause, for the cause of our daughters, every single town and city, for people in America to understand, it happened to my cousin, literally, children in every town and city, English children, are being kidnapped and taken, and what they've done now, what they're trying to do, is we worked for years to bring it to the forefront, and then they had to report on it, we had the Rotherham report, and then now, in 2014, the Law Commission told them, the Law Commission done an investigation into contempt of court and reporting restrictions, they advised the Attorney General that they need to create one national website, and all of their little secret trials that they're having should be listed on this one website. They didn't do that. So they haven't done that. And the reason they haven't done that, because if there was one of those websites, you'd go on, you'd look at the website, and you'd see hundreds and hundreds of Muslim names and reporting restrictions, where there's cases going on now across the country.
Are you scared?
Of course I am. I'm terrified. I've got three beautiful children. I've just had to kiss goodbye for the fourth time on this case. All I've done is hold my iPhone. All I've done is hold my phone up and report. I've reported. If this was happening to a journalist in any other country, in Russia, in China, our politicians would all be screaming from the rooftops about it. All of them. But instead, this is where America needs to understand. Your rights, your freedoms will be chipped away, chipped away, chipped away. They'll disappear bit by bit. And as they disappear, the CNNs, the BBCs, they will celebrate it.
When will people start to care?
When I'm killed in prison, hopefully. I just said, I always say defining moments change, I've said it before, a defining moment changes the direction of a country. Let this be the defining moment. Because I just don't understand how they can do it. And not just why they can do it, it's all wrong. It's going against their own laws.
Sure.
It's going against their own laws.
We're going to go up the stairs here.
Yes, sir.
We can
go
this way.
What's that, mate? Hi,
yeah, big crown.
Do you know even our ability? So basically, I see all the main...
Dickhead. Don't worry, ignore.
The mainstream media will push their lies. Cheers, mate. The mainstream media will push their lies continually And I don't even, because of the censorship, they've removed us from everywhere.
Yes.
I don't have the ability to argue with it or,
no,
or
they
give
just make you a non-person.
And give our side of the story. And all of this can happen. You can be taken off the streets. I'm going to be in prison for the second time. You know, one of those rapists, one of those charged rapists has never faced justice because the judge gave him bail. He's gone home to Pakistan.
Yes.
I'm about to go to jail for the second time for asking him how he feels about his verdict.
Do you think you feel, do you hear the level of support out in the rest of the UK? People like, you know, my friends, my parents' friends, they see you as a good guy.
I see it in every town and city. So
do you see it?
If I didn't see it, I'd really get disheartened. But every town and city, I see that the British public, which is where, again, if you're in America, we have been scared into silence. Yeah. Our entire population think things, but they're too scared to say it. Because there is no free speech. We live in a post-free speech era. There's no free speech, and now there's no freedom of the press.
No, but you understand that that England is two places. There's London and the rest of the UK.
Yeah.
And you know that in the rest of the UK, you have massive support.
Even in London as well, when I walk around.
In London, of course.
But yeah, in
but the
in
mainstream media, the press aren't allowing people to hear that
well, no,
support.
They run their narrative. Like, if you were from another country, you come here, you'd look at our media, you'd think Donald Trump was hated in the UK. You'd think even Donald Trump was hated. I say, if Donald Trump was in England, he'd have been arrested and tried on hate speech. The mayor would make sure of it.
Yeah.
Pete Carmen would make sure of it. What the dark forces that have been at play in the American elections, in all of the politics in America, are the same dark forces which are sentencing me today.
And would you say that you are, you know, ahead of America, where we go, America follows. Oh, America will be right behind us.
Oh, your freedoms are going to go in the same way. The Democrats would, if the Democrats were in power now, they'd already be going. They're erode and chip and chip and chip. And whilst they do it, the corporatist globalist media will celebrate it, support it, run the fake narrative, run the agenda, and they will destroy anyone's name.
And if you had a message for Americans, what's your message as you head to court to be sentenced, maybe put in prison? What's your message for America?
Yeah. Britain has fallen. It's already fallen. Our judiciary system is corrupt. Our politicians are corrupt. Our media are corrupt. The message to America, hold on to the things you love, freedom, because it will go, and it will go like that. And then I cannot believe I'm about to be sent to jail for acting as a journalist and asking a simple question. The thing is, the video's there for everyone to watch. Anyone can watch it and see that I've committed no crime. I've broke no laws.
Yes.
I've broke my laws.
And where is your wife and children today? Are they at home?
I've just had my kids are in the
somewhere. Okay. Can you hear that noise?
I can.
What do you think?
I think that they essentially, when they imprisoned me last time, I hated it. I come out a mess.
They were tiny.
Oh no, yeah.
You've lost like 4 stone.
I know. I've come out a mess, but at the same time, it awakened so many people. People need. We need to see injustice in order to wake up. Because at the minute, everyone in this country has become so selfish, and they're plodding along in their ears. As long as I'm okay. That's how everyone's thinking. An entire generation of cowardice. And people need to witness injustice and feel that injustice. And what happened last time? I saw how many people felt it. If they send me to prison today, a lot of people are going to feel it. More than just me and my family. A lot of the public are feeling it.
Listening to that in the background, you can hear Tommy, that chant.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel when you hear that?
I feel like, I never feel alone anyway.
How does that make you feel when you hear that?
I feel like I never feel alone anyway. That's one thing. And I also know and I'm confident that whilst I'm in jail, my family will be looked after. No matter what happens here, I sit in confidence knowing that my family will be looked after.
So there's a sense of not feeling alone, even though the state have tried to make you feel like you're completely alone.
Oh yeah, everywhere I walk, when I walk into any pub in any town or city, I get a hero's reception. I haven't bought a beer for years. So I get a hero's reception. So essentially, this myth that I'm hating is just a myth. Same with you. You're not slow.
No.
When you walk around, and it's that's Danny. And I just think that I've got nothing to apologise for.
No.
I will not apologise. I have been convicted, so people understand what the wording means, of causing anxiety to the Muslim paedophiles by asking them how they feel about their verdict. That's enough to cause them anxiety, which might make them fearful to come back into court, which impedes the course of justice, which is what I've been convicted of. It's insane. Even my barrister, I said, how are we going to get on before the trial? And they said, well, they're in trouble, because the law's the law. Well, the law's the law. The law's the law, doesn't matter. They've gone against the law.
Yes. Well, the law, they say the law is the law, but it's just their interpretation of whatever they want the law
whatever
to be.
Whatever they want.
Whatever they want it to be.
That's what people need to understand and see, that we don't have a fair system.
And if you end up in prison for causing anxiety to Muslim paedophiles. Majority Pakistani Muslim paedophiles.
Who have been on bail for 2 years, who have been walking around, one of them.
Sorry, I thought it was left, isn't it?
It is left, isn't it?
It's left.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can't go to prison if we don't go to court.
I know. So I see the passion in everyone else. I understand how much it means to everyone else who doesn't feel like they've got a voice. This is the government's attempt to silence that voice. For everyone. If they can do this to me, they can do it to you. They can do it to everyone.
I'm just asking you questions. I'm telling you,
I am being sent to jail for doing what you've just done. I'm not saying what you've done is wrong. I'm saying that
there's no reporting restrictions on this case.
My conviction was for causing anxiety to Muslim people. That's my conviction. Nothing to do with that.
So why? Tell me what I'm doing.
I've had a great response. Persecution. How can I be sent to prison for asking a paedophile how he feels about his sentence? That's all I ask. Anyone can watch a video. You can speak to fake news lies for the corporate globalist media wherever you want. No one trusts you. No one believes you. That's why everyone follows me.
So why are you asking for asylum then?
Well, I'm asking for it because I'm about... Because there's six Muslims in jail now who want to kill me. Because I'm being imprisoned illegally.
You were in prison last year.
Was damaged, and they know that intentionally. If I spend 10 years in solitary confinement, they'll destroy me. They know that.
Yeah, this is Tommy Robinson, last interview as he's marched into prison for first exposing giant child kidnapping rings that have been convicted. He thought he'd be carried on people's arms. Instead, the criminal government has put him in jail three times. Convicted of journalism.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
This is powerful HD footage. It needs to be seen by everybody. It's exclusively at newswars.com and infowars.com, and it's free. And I'm not bragging. That's you I'm bragging about. You buying products financed.
In this moment, he really is part of something much bigger. An army of patriots, proud and loyal, wanting to stand up for a better Britain. All these silenced voices suddenly louder than ever before. But as Tommy takes his bags and hugs his mates, it's him alone that has to face the courts.
Which way are you going, innit?
One man, standing up for our daughters against the system and the state.
And ladies and gentlemen,
out of court watching Tommy Robinson be sentenced for the crime of contempt of court. No one else has ever been sent to prison for this crime, but of course Tommy Robinson has. In fact, the judge said there's no sentencing guidelines for this type of crime. What she said essentially was that she needed to make an example out of Tommy to deter other people from doing the same. So he's actually got 19 weeks because of time already served. He will only have to do half of that in prison. So half of 19 weeks is what Tommy will actually spend inside jail. But I think just as a mother, watching Tommy go down behind the perspex glass, go down those stairs with all the keys going and the prison officers, there's a real sense of, you know, what is this country doing to a guy who is just using his phone, repeating information in the public domain? This really is the state versus the people. But what's a great thing to see here today with so many people gathered is that the people still haven't given up.
And don't forget Count Dankula. Tens of millions of views per video. Popular memer. Had the pug say Heil Hitler, just like John Cleese did similar jokes on Monty Python. facing multiple years in prison, massive fines. And they're dragging him through court for years to suck every dime out of him. And it's more and more people. Now, you wouldn't be able to see that HD footage and have that. Because everybody else had crappy footage. Unless you, the listeners, had bought products from us. And we were able to pay for her to have a camera person and a camera. And Katie Hopkins does work for InfoWars. I'd love to have her full time. But we can only afford to have her part time. Even though she works for free, we've got to pay for the camera people, the editing equipment, and the travel. She works for free. And she even spends her own money. So that's what this comes down to. Another reporter doing work for InfoWars.com. And we've got dozens and dozens and dozens of people you don't know about that your money is financing right now. Please, more important than money is your prayers and your word of mouth. Go to InfoWars.com or NewsWars.com and get the article that has the video you just saw in HD, Tommy Robinson's final interview before being sent to prison. Tommy Robinson's final interview before court and prison. Anyone can see the video and see I've committed no crime. And it's very, very important people see this because you're next, I'm next. If we don't form a coalition against this, I have one other news item I want to hit, but we have 75 to 20% off all products at InfoWarsStore.com. We have a bunch of other specials. Dozens and dozens of items are $17.76. All t-shirts and all apparel $17.76. So I guess that's hundreds of products are $17.76. And a lot of the great supplements are $17.76. Ultra 12, twice as strong as Secret 12, $17.76. The $17.76 ball cap that costs $15. It's so nice, made in America. That's $17.76. Super Silver Wound Gel, that's $17.76. Folks, it cost me $10 a tube. We're the only other group licensed to buy it from the U.S. company in Denver that's used in hospitals. It's sold in stores for $40 under another name. $17.76. You cannot beat these deals at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. And I want to thank the great audience. I want to thank the great crew. There's still 3 hours left. Will Johnson came into town to host while Owen's out. Owen Schroyer's filed a bunch of bombshell reports as well. Another big report that's on InfoWars.com is Ali Alexander, who does have a lot of connections in the White House and was at the media summit, said he met with the Trump officials, and they said there's going to be another event with Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, Laura Loomer, Gab McGinnis, and others, but that they wanted this first one to not be as controversial. Well, whatever. All I care about is taking action against big tech. And Trump is starting to go in the right direction, so let's keep the heat on, and that is certainly a good thing. Because we don't have free speech, and the president doesn't understand what's happening, we will lose this next election, and Katie barred the door. It'll just be absolutely hellish. So that interview at Trump Hotel with Ali Alexander and others talking about that is on InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. In fact, it's only about a four-minute interview. We'll air that with Will Johnson in the War Room coming up, which starts in T-minus 40 seconds at InfoWars.com/show. And I sure hope that a lot of the other affiliates out there will pick up the War Room. And of course, I'm teleprompter free, so I make mistakes constantly. There's another hour of the Alex Jones Show with the awesome Dr. Nick Baggage coming up. And then in 60 minutes and 18 seconds, you will have the War Room with Will Johnson sitting in for Owen Schroyer. But that's it for me. I'm signing off. Thanks to the crew and all of you. We will continue on and we will prevail. Thanks for joining us.
InfoWars.com, and I lost my guy in my ear isn't there right now, but that's okay. You know, InfoWars, what a week. Again, last couple of weeks, really, when you start to think about what's going on in the national news, what the play has been, and what we see unfolding in the last couple of weeks. You know, the whole idea of free speech, the whole idea of being able to have this conversation on the air, it really boils back down to freedom to think. I mean, stop and look at what's going on with Tommy Robinson this week. What is he really reporting on? It's the right to know, really, the right to know, the right to information, the right to have what's needed within a democratic republic or democracy, so that you have a fighting chance to have a discussion, even if those discussions some people find repugnant or unacceptable or politically incorrect. And the political incorrectness has now gotten us a layering of silence, if you will, where people don't say what's on their mind, even though the majority of people might feel that way. Think about this in terms of controlling thought as the first step in really a more overt step, an obvious step. And in fact, they don't even hide from it anymore. You know, it's like public shaming, the same things used in China. Oh, well, you don't agree with the majority opinion, therefore you've got to be wrong. Thank God that didn't prevail 244 years ago at the eve of 1776, right? I mean, had people believed that, we would be in deep trouble. The fact is, there was really, think about that. 243 years ago, what was the debate in the town square? It was whether to tell King George to head for the hills or stand your ground. Whoa. And people are worried about saying something offensive to almost 2.5 centuries later. Are you kidding me? If that wasn't saying something offensive, I don't know what was, because if you were a British loyalist standing in the town square in Boston hearing the speeches, you might have been a little uncomfortable. You might not get a trophy. You might get your ass kicked all the way back across the Atlantic. You know, what I see happening to Tommy Robinson ought to be it's the shot over the bow for Great Britain's people, really, to rise up and face a government that's forgotten them, forgotten the obligation of information, even if you don't agree with it. You know, so what are they hiding that they're so worried about the British people being upset about? They're hiding trials so that people don't know who's committing the crimes. And they happen to line up with a whole bunch of people that everyone's kind of complaining about, you know. So why can't you report on criminal actions in Great Britain happening today? Because it's not politically correct, because it doesn't sing the song, it doesn't have the agenda of the elites. We're going to be right back. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to The InfoWars.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind, with Nick Begich.
And welcome back to InfoWars. And it's a Friday afternoon. I'm here in Alaska in my home in Anchorage, talking about really what is mind control as a concept. You know, the idea of controlling thought really is where it begins, in the most simplistic methods being applied today. You know, politically correct speech as an example, taken to all new levels in Great Britain. Today, Tommy Robinson in trouble for doing what? For asking a few questions, for informing the public on what's happening in his country. And unfortunately, in this so-called bastion of democracy, Great Britain, he's being sold out. And the press, the way the press is covering it is, they're next. You know, and there really isn't much free press in Great Britain anyway. It's all public press, right? And then you have the Guardian, and you have the Mayor, and you have the rags of newspapers that actually occasionally report something, but even they are intimidated, I'm sure, by this. And then you think about, again, on the radical side of reporting, you know, it's one slice at a time. You know, Assange recently, you know, of course, reporting where all the big media outlets in the whole world loved it when they were getting the feed, right, and reporting the stories. And now they forget the guy that broke the story and dump him into some hole somewhere. Because what you don't realize is these guys, you know, the Noriegas, the Assanges, people that know the real story, when they go to trial in the U.S., then they go into the little black box of jail where nobody talks to them, where they don't get access to anything. You know, if you really want to destroy a democratic republic like ours, you have to attack the First Amendment. And so the First Amendment is about the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom to believe, basically. Freedom to believe, foundationally, with all of those platforms, basic rights in the United States. And they're being undermined gradually here, in lots of different ways, but undermined nonetheless. And then think about what's going on in China and social scoring, and now what's happening in the U.S. and blackmailing. I mean, excuse me, leaking information to the media for them to channel up into the propaganda game. And, you know, when you think about mind control, you think about propaganda, information control is really what it's about. So when you start layering all these things, you start thinking about sort of the Orwellian view now of social scoring in China that also applies in the U.S. by the same companies. And what did these heads of these companies actually do? They sold us out. They sold out a set of human values, not just American values, but human values. And on the platform of the sellout for money, the big tech companies' access to China and India and other big markets in the world, they had to give up quite a bit, even in this market, you know, to the military-industrial surveillance cult of globalists that run so much of the government these days. And if you don't believe it, keep watching, because it started here. In InfoWars, you know, when you think about where all this is going, why do they shut down the voices that oppose the status quo? It's because these are the voices that they fear the most, yours, mine, the people that are speaking up against the control of speech as a fundamental beginning point. You know, the idea that Alex Jones would be shut down when others with much more vile speech than anything ever coming out of this network continue, you know? I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, so who decides is really the question. Who's going to regulate who gets to speak? This is where we're all threatened, because every voice has a right to be heard and a right to be turned off. But that's an individual choice, not the network's choice, not the medium's choice, not the forbidding of you from entering what is the 21st century public square. And this is what's happened to Alex and to others, and is beginning to see more and more of this kind of treatment as a way to manipulate public thought. So controlling the media is the first attack of the propaganda that we're seeing today, what people call fake news. I mean, think about all the neat little buzzwords that repackage the way we think about things. Think about how words structure a lot about how we then view it. So now what we've got is a tail wagging the dog. We have the media programming generations, the next generation particularly, are dialed into the digital world. And that world is what's holding your attention and reshaping our culture, because people began the feedback loop of a digital, really a digital addiction in so many respects. And then when you lay on top of this, the idea that you can manipulate brain activity, emotional states relatively easily, especially if everyone's dialed in, because modulating a signal in a way that entrains the brain so that you have a more suggestive, open mind to absorb what people are feeding you. And yeah, you'll accept more and more of the BS and think it's real. And here's what becomes even more confusing as you start to augment reality, what they, you know, augmented reality, right? Special glasses, little visors that sort of give you additional feedback as you're cruising through life, but at the same time extracting information about every move you make and every breath you take. And it's not to enlighten you. It's to shape you, to form you, to shove you into the herd in a way that we have never seen before. So when you look at the layering of controlling behavior that's happening now, and what I see is around the world, doesn't matter where you go in the world, you see the same kind of disruption and reshaping with a cultural overlay. You know, they actually sort of tailor it for the neighborhood, and they do it on a large basis. And then when you scale it down, you see really what's happening. And it's a creation of a consumer society that consumes and that buys and that continually demands resources on a level that's unprecedented. And in a way that really continues to choke the opportunity rather than expand the opportunity for the average person. I mean, the things that made and make America unique, great, is the fact that we all had these unique opportunities, no matter where we came from and no matter how we landed here. And so we have some things in our history that are worth preserving, worth recognizing. But at the same time, we're seeing some of those fundamental values abandoned, not just here, but around the world. And we're talking about human values, which were the foundation of our constitutional values as our founding father saw it. And that's what we've lost in so much of this today when we start to think about the changes, the manipulations, the pushing, the limiting of speech. You know, people are afraid in Great Britain because of what's happened there and what's happening there right now to Tommy Robinson and other voices around the world. It's time for voices to be raised one-to-one, personally, talking to people, changing the way we see the world. That's the way the world will change. Tommy Robinson is another symbol of it. We're going to be right back after these brief messages. Remember, the InfoWarsStore.com. Support this network in that way. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after these messages.
Listening to The Alex Jones Show with Nick Begich.
And welcome back to this Friday with the InfoWars.com team. You know, before the break, talking again about speech, the basic fundamental rights, the sort of the beginning of shaping the human mind, if you will. I mean, think about this. This is one of the areas I spent a lot of time the last 25 years researching and reporting on, the manipulation of the mind, human consciousness, even at some levels. But this is what was learned in all of that, you know. And there's some books you can get them at the Info War Store and videos as well on mind control that I've authored. They're very well footnoted, hundreds of source documents cited showing the evolution of the technology. But when you start to lay it on top of everything else that's going on, it becomes really a more integrated system. And why is it important now, even 25 years after I first started reporting on these issues? And I can tell you, the idea of manipulating what you think to create outcomes in terms of the physical world is one thing. And that's pretty effective. I mean, that's not a very difficult leap to make. The science shows us that to manipulate or to herd a population along emotionally is relatively easily charged up, if you will. You can create those signals even more so now as we reside in this soup of RF, radio frequency energy, from the microwave ranges and up, from millimeter waves to centimeter waves to decimeter waves. You know, the wavelength coupling with various aspects of our physical form, whether it's on a chemical level or even a smaller level. Okay, so manipulating with energy, pulsating energy in very specific frequency ranges can create changes that affect us physically. And this is the basis of many new weapons technologies, not just intended to target the way you think, but every aspect of your connectedness, if you will, to affect all of the physical senses, touch, taste, smell, you know, all of these things that are sort of regulated by the external body and also the mind. You know, the idea of controlling human behavior has been the target of research going back now, you know, 100 years, just about 100 years. And so when you think about the technologies today, and the simple applications of utilizing the media by just owning it, you know, and that's the first step, own it. And that's what we see. We see the media consolidated into smaller and smaller sources that most people rely on. And then those sources are manipulated, regulated. And you, instead of viewing the news, become part of the data collection. You're just a node in the system, data being collected on each of us, categorized, utilized, and then marketed, or manipulated, or both, or all of it. You know, that's the truth of the matter, is you're surveyed and surveilled, and then you're manipulated, and then you're pushed along and manipulated along to sing whatever song they want you to sing. And this is where it has all changed. And what's also discovered in all of that research was this other aspect of human beings, this higher aspect of what we are, actually what indeed we are at our core. And then you want to talk about the shaking and trembling of governments when they recognize the individual power of a human soul when fully activated, because all of this research led them to that. And that's the fear. And so the surveillance is about seeing what's up? Who are the ones acting out? Who are the ones demonstrating the capability that you're going to want to snuff out in a hurry when things start getting a little wild? And they are wild when you think about it. Now, what happened in Europe and why did Brexit happen? It's because the elites of the world bought into their own propaganda to a level that they started believing their own press releases ahead of the public, because they were already convinced. And so the backlash that you're seeing in Europe right now is a backlash against this globalistic view of the world, which the EU was just a step along that merry way. And the backlash was because they went too fast. The slow boil didn't work quite so well when they turned up the temperature and people said, hey, wait, it's a little hot in here. And the same thing is happening here in the U.S., but here's some overlays to throw on top of this. Now, what are elites truly fearful of? It's a population that's activated and engaged because of what's coming. What's coming is a further consolidation of power economic and otherwise, into the hands of fewer and fewer people. And the reason we know this is because of AI. Think about it. Artificial intelligence and robotics combined with a surveillance state, the enforcement arm, if you will, becomes the very technology created in a lot of ways in our image. Think about that. The hardware and the software and the computer stuff, all of it, is in our image, right? The AI gods created in our image, which is kind of bad news because humans are pretty flawed, you know, but consciousness links us in a way that even big tech can't fight. They try to emulate, and so they're trying to create what's called the worldwide mind. If you look at PBS, Public Broadcasting System's show by the same name, The Worldwide Mind, the prediction is for sometime in the next 60, 70 years for that to be the state of affairs where all our minds are linked without the need of the, you know, computer interface. Now, some people think that's a good idea. Personally, my take on it's really a little bit contrary, and I not only think it's a bad idea, but at the same time, I say it already exists. And it's called the consciousness that is us, what we're created in the image of the creator, the essence of us, is that. This is what elites fear, is the activation of that. You know, the potential of a human soul is what is most fearful for elites. And this is where the opportunity to rise up into what we are and remember what we are as created human beings begin to emulate that. That's where the fear for elites begins and ends, activated humans. I'm not talking about violence in the streets, which is what you see this elite trying to create, a tribalistic view of the world that separates us, that divides us, that breaks us into little parts as if we are separated, but we're not. We're created in one image of one creator. We need to act that way. We need to be different in the way we project in the world. We need to insist on a different world that represents what 243 years ago in 1776, our founding fathers thought was a great idea. Free, sovereign souls. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to the InfoWars. We'll be right back after these messages.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
As we witness the most disastrous geological activity in recorded history, the globalists are backed into a corner. And the leftists are pushing for civil war. Borders are being broken and sovereignty is being challenged. The world is going to change. And how it changes will likely be decided by those who are prepared to stay strong when the system fails. The system is vulnerable. Electricity could be gone in an instant, and grocery stores could be empty in 3 days. Having storable foods and the ability to purify water will give you a fighting chance in the next level. And being without puts you at the mercy of others or makes you a slave to a dying system. Buy storable foods and an Alexa Pure Gravity water filter today. Support mankind by being prepared. And support freedom by buying from InfoWarsStore.com.
The globalists are hyper-competitive scientific dictators. They are technocrats. They are control freaks in their own words. And they believe allowing you to live your own life and make your own decisions gets in the way of their great destiny to merge with AI gods. Now, we're fighting them hard in cyberspace. We're fighting them hard right here in the third dimension. But one of the biggest places that we neglect to forget that we've really got a lot of control in our lives is our bodies. If I wasn't taking the highest quality supplements from InfoWarsLife.com, I couldn't do it. That's why we decided to take our original Secret 12 that was incredibly high quality metal gabalamin and double the strength of it in a new formula, Ultra 12. Ultra 12 is undoubtedly the strongest, highest quality B12 over the counter that you're going to find anywhere. It is amazing. Experience pure methylcobalamin B12 for yourself and fund the second American revolution against the tyrants at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. I talk about this on the air, and I know it sinks into people, but I've decided that we're going to kind of reboot all our supplements, in that if you go back 5-6 years ago, before all the censorship and attacks and fake lawsuits and the rest of it, I would talk about how great the products are and how they were the best and why they were, and I'd have doctors on and experts to explain why they were so good. And instead, the last few years, I'm like, hey, we need to really support us, or they'll shut us down. The biggest thing people like to buy is supplements because they know how great they are and how wonderful they were. And the left always has headlines everywhere. Jones sells unapproved supplements that he claims are supplements. No, under federal law since 1996, you can't say that a supplement has been through the FDA because they have no jurisdiction and won't look at it. But then they say you've got to say it's not approved by them. And all drugs are is the system trying to tweak what's in Mother Nature and manipulate it and do different things. And a lot of drugs work great. They have side effects, not with Mother Nature. But Big Pharma doesn't want you knowing about God's medicine chest. InfoWarsStore.com. Or 888-253-3139.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Nick Begich.
And welcome back to InfoWars. And this is Dr. Nick Begich on this Friday afternoon. And we were talking before the break about consciousness versus AI, really. I mean, sort of the contrast between the two, the difference. Okay, let's talk about this for a moment, what all this builds into when we look at the broader picture, the bigger picture of what we're seeing shaped around us. It's about creating reality on a fundamental level. And this is what was learned, that if you can get a mass of people believing and thinking in a certain way, that you actually do create the outcomes. And here's what was discovered along that line, is the idea of creating reality. Think about this. It's a fundamental thing that we're supposed to be able to do, right? Create reality. I mean, in a lot of ways. I mean, 2,000 years ago, somebody showed up here. He said, you know, greater things you'll do also, right? And he wasn't kidding around. And trying to remind us fundamentally about aspects of our character, what we are internally, that we're more than the flesh, that we're more than this body, that we're way more than that. And yet everything that comes at us in terms of what we're pushed into is deeper into this shell of physical flesh and form by making that the highest and most important thing, when it's not. It's beyond form. Form is merely a small expression of what we are fundamentally. It is our external expression of our internal arrangement of atoms and chemistry, if you will. It's how we express in the world, but it's basically energy fronts crossing and forming boop, you know, what we perceive as a reality in all of its form. Okay, now the other aspect of this that was discovered by those looking into the manipulation and control of the mind. And when we think about these topics, people think of the Manchurian candidate, they think of gang stalking or whatever else is out there. You know, there's a lot of things out there. So what's the reality, however, on a fundamental level, is about shaping the outward reality. And here's what was discovered, that if you could hold a thought, and if all of us tried to hold a thought, any thought, your mind drifts, like almost immediately you start to drift. You can't hold a thought for more than a second or two. But what's known is, to create reality, the more you can hold that thought, the more it expresses itself in reality. If you get a million people to hold that thought for a second, it's the same thought for the same second, it's like you holding it for a million seconds, only we're all doing it together. It's the same power. You know, so when people come together and focus their attention on the 6 o'clock news and then agree on some consensus, it actually begins to push more energy into the creation of that consensus into the reality in the world, which is why information is so powerful, because we need to know at the same time. In knowing, we also begin the chain reaction of expression into reality, whether we like it or not. So when you start to think about what the media does and why freedom of the press was so fundamentalist in the First Amendment, because on every level, fundamentally, freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, it's all about freedom of thought, you see. But nobody even envisioned you could manipulate that 243 years ago, or that would have been the first line and first sentence of it, would be to have free thought and all those things that grow from it. And that's what's under attack today by limiting speech. Is really the next deep layer of splitting the population to those that are free to think and express those thoughts and perhaps impact others, and those that they can't through at least the physical medium. Now, what we know and what they also know is activated human beings cannot be activated if you're in a state of anxiety and fear. Think about that for just a moment. How much of the news creates warm, fuzzy feelings? You know, none of it. How much of what you see in the average day creates that? Not very much of it. And this is something that we can't lose sight of. We can't let our emotions carry us away, which is how we're herded, if you think about it. We're herded on the platform and the sleigh ride of emotion, rather than the combination of heart and head, you know, logic and the heart. You know, you put them together and you might have something. You know, you get them apart and you really screw it up. You become too heady or too hearty, and guess what? You know, that's not why how humans are intended. And this gets into that right brain, left brain dialogue and gets back to the brain again, physical form and manipulation of this form in order to create outcomes. And we have learned on the scientific level how to do that at a profound way. And now we've overlaid it with everything else. This is the danger. This is the signal. But also, what's the countermeasure? The true countermeasure is waking up to what we are and remembering what we are and beginning to express it in all the small ways that we possibly can, so that larger ways can unfold. And as people gain an understanding of what the science says, our belief systems change, and our ability then to express ourselves in the world become more potent. So it is a war for your mind, because what was found in all the research was the power of even one. But millions? Whoa. See, this is what the information age offered, and what's being taken from us is the possibility that maybe we'll remember what we are, because maybe this is the countermeasure to this. Now, think about AI and robotics as a concept. It concentrates more and more production into fewer and fewer hands with less input from human populations, which means what do you do with all these people? That's why you're having discussions in that arena, in the elite circles, about, you know, a guaranteed basic income, universal health coverage. You know, how are we going to keep the public, you know, from becoming enraged by the ripoff that's about to happen? And it is a ripoff only in the sense that there's not an honest dialogue going on, because even that's being restricted now. And And that's the dialogue you tap. How do these technologies truly serve us and not enslave us should be the first question we ask in the 21st century. And there aren't many people asking that question outside of the few networks like this one that are still on the in the game, you know, and Drudge Report, alternative medias of every kind are under one form of an attack or another, because it is a war for your mind. But it's more than that in the way it's being played out. The layering, from the political layering, political correctness, controlling speech, to the literal manipulation of the way people think and how our brains function, how easy it is to manipulate emotional states with just a spiked oscillation in any of the fields that surround us. Manipulated in a very specific way, create what's called a frequency following response, an FFR, taught in every advanced psychology coursework in the country at every decent human university, explains this principle. The brain locks on to external signals within certain ranges, begins to mirror them, and this creates a change in your basic emotional state. And this can be laid into any power system transmitting, whether it be the internet, the radio, television, power grid itself can be oscillated. And it's not in the power ranges, it's in the way they're oscillated, the way that they our systems couple and join together and form a union with the artificial. And this is where it happens, where the action is, if you will. And if you lay it on a platform of fear and anxiety, you'll never reach the higher states of awareness that we're intended to reach, that change things, that alter things, that create things in the world of physical form. This is Dr. Nick Begich. We're going to be right back after these brief messages, and you're in the InfoWar.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Nick Begich. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And welcome back to InfoWars. Before the break, talking again about AI, robotics, the overlays of sort of what we're seeing and why the elite are so afraid right now. Because when people recognize what's happening, fully recognize what's happening, and the promises that are totally bogus by most of these politicians, then you'll see it. But the counterbalance to this right now is kind of intriguing to me, because I see it a little differently. You know, when I think of trauma, and I've experienced lots of it in my life, without getting into that or any aspects of that, trauma is where things, you know, you get kind of your reality checks on where you're shocked into reality. And we're seeing cultural traumatic events. You know, when I saw the footage of Tommy Robinson just, you know, the last few days, you know, that's pretty heartbreaking when you think about, here's a guy that just asked questions, you know, I mean, he didn't even state conclusions, you know, he just asked questions, and he was truly convicted of journalism, as his shirt says, that for those that see him being taken right now. And, you know, the heroes of the 21st century are going to be those that stood up for the rest of us under this kind of crazy nonsense. Look at this, you know, mob of police to keep this guy silent. You know, I mean, come on. Is that really what it's about? What is he? He's been accused of everything under the sun, because this is also how it goes. You know, just start throwing every name, you know, that you can think of at somebody to try and destroy them. Go after their economy. Go after their livelihood. Go after their families. Go after whatever you can do to disrupt them. And see, they know really clearly, because of the profile that all of us have laid down, what works or doesn't work. You know, and so then they got to do something different, you know, and that's what you see, is you see the different things being done by the voices that cannot be silenced, that will not be silenced, that are becoming stronger. I think the more that the press is on, the better the odds are that there'll be more voices, and strong voices, and nonviolent voices, for God's sake, at least from the right. And hopefully the left wakes up enough to realize is they're just being herded along with whatever fertilizer that's masquerading for the truth of the BS that it truly is. And whether it's the BS being fed to the right or the left to inflame us, no, this isn't where we're going. We're going to combine the head and the heart and do it a different way. And this is where we win this information war, is it's a war of the head and the heart. It's a type of consciousness that the elite don't get because they can't get there, you know. And whether you're driving a bus today or sitting in an office as a CEO and hearing these words, you know exactly what I'm saying. You know, it's about what we do, what we chose to do in each instant right now. That we can do, that we can have faith in, that we can believe in, that we can trust our own judgment in, to listen to the story, look at the information, and then decide. That's what freedom of the press is about. That's what freedom of speech is about. And that's what's being taken from us, as the late Chuck Carter used to say, one slice at a time until the bologna's all gone. And that's what we're seeing in the world today, is a robbery of thought and the ability to express ourselves freely. Now, when you start to think about all this in terms of where we're headed, what's the alternate vision for this? Is, first of all, I don't believe in the shortage myth of resources. It is a myth. When I look around and fly around, and what I've seen in the world tells me it's a myth. What's not a myth is the fact that greater amounts of the true wealth of nations is being taken from us and consolidated in the same hands it always has been, into the few. Whether it's a millennium or two ago or now, you know, it's the same game being played out on the world. Through now, the window of the world, big tech, which controls so much of our attention, to the point where the world is being shaped by big tech instead of by human consciousness, learning, remembering, and behaving differently. So the challenge for us in this century is to take back our sovereign souls from the jail of the flesh being imposed on us more and more by media. Now, fear and anxiety, I want to talk about that for a moment, because whether it's the ads, advertising agencies capitalizing on anxiety and fear, am I breath going to be bad? Am I going to stink? Whatever, you know, they're selling, am I going to die? I need this medication. You know, whatever the fear, think about how much of it's fear-based, even when it's sold to you in a friendly way. You know, I mean, but that anxiety dampens our ability to really recognize and behave differently as humans. Stress on our systems, you know, breed disease, heart disease, cancers, all of it, stress-related disorder of all kinds, psychologically and physically. And this is how it comes at us, you know. And my significant other before the show today, where I'm listening to my normal news feeds, and Anne's reaction is, what a lousy way to start the day, you know, with such a heavy hit of negative news. And she's right on a lot of levels, you know, and that's absolutely the truth of the matter. And we all wake up to that, and professionally, I go, that's kind of what I do. So take in the news, interpret it, and put it out a little differently. That's what this network does, is interpret what's going on in the world and put out what we think are the important aspects of news, the news of the day, if you will. And between all the hosts and the hours of broadcasting, we cover a pretty wide breadth of what's going on in the instant, and then sort of the contextual view of what all this means. And all that gets explored in a pretty open way without a bunch of teleprompters and advertisers telling anybody what to say, because that doesn't happen. The reality is we truly serve the interest of the public, which is why many of us got into this, some of us quarter of a century ago, because we actually believe that, hey, as long as the public supported us through whatever means we were coming to them, then we keep doing this. But if it doesn't happen, then we don't do it anymore. And that's kind of why I quit writing books a while ago, because I couldn't do it anymore. Why a lot of authors aren't doing the exposés we used to do, because you can't research a book for a couple, 3 years, and then have it digitized and put out there for free and then make it all work. You know, it doesn't work that way. So a lot of us started doing things differently, you know, figure out a different way to do it, get our information out. And this medium is the medium for this century to be able to have a conversation through talk radio and now video feeds as well, which is a great way to have a conversation. And that's what's being forbidden today, an open conversation about the technologies and how those technologies might affect us. Because we're talking about the big tech technologies. You don't think they want their advertisers to be successful and sell you stuff? You don't think they'll go to whatever means or the law allows to get you to be herded along and believe whatever it is that they're going to feed you? What I want to say is we are individually sovereign thinkers. Trust your intuition. That's the heart part of the head, you know, or the left brain, right brain working together. You know, this is what we're intended more fully to be, is feeling, thinking humans that apply what we know in the world around us to reflect our beliefs. And do that. Do what you believe is right and true each and every day. If we each do that, the world begins to change on that platform. And that takes no fearlessness at all, just confidence in what you absolutely know. That's called faith, actually. It's a very simple thing. Faith is what you believe to be right and true and you're willing to act on. So act. If you have faith of a mustard seed, act. Change the world today. This is Dr. Nick Begich on a Friday afternoon telling you and reminding you that we are divinely created and we need to act that way. Spend a few minutes each day contemplating that thought as we enter the InfoWars and activate who we are as living souls. This is Dr. Nick Begich signing off this Friday afternoon.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.